United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends. I'm back. I'll be back here for the next couple of days, and then I'm going to take off again. And you have to excuse me because I've been at the Village Marketplace. They're not open today, but they'll be open on tomorrow. But today I was at a Martha. But if anybody's been to the Village Marketplace, you guys know that Martha is Martha's Donut. And she made something called fried pies. What, Dick?
They're amazing.
They have real apples. They're made by hand. They're light, light, crusty dough.
The only thing that needs is a scoop of ice cream on top.
Oh, man. That's all it needs?
A nice French vanilla bride ice cream.
Oh, no, no. They have fun ice cream right there. You can go to Martha's and then go over to get the ice cream and then go home and have a happy meal.
You want to talk? I've never seen one before. You want to talk about a sure way to get overweight? Somebody bought Amy a 1-quart ice cream freezer for Christmas. For the wedding.
Ice cream maker?
Yep. You freeze it, and you put all your ingredients in it, and it makes ice cream. No fuss, no muss.
That's dangerous.
No salt, no ice to deal with. Just freeze it. Put your stuff in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Turn my butt up. Turn up some more.
Tiffany has an attachment. Ice cream attachment that actually makes sorbet.
She's just so healthy.
You know,
we come in here talking about ice cream and
right.
Fried pie. She says,
right.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Vegetable.
She's a good alternative.
Full disclosure here, my wife is seeing Dr. Danielle. And there's stuff. My wife says, make this for me for supper. And there's this whole refrigerator full of stuff. And I have no idea what the stuff is.
I heard. That's Danielle's in studio with me. Matt's on the phone. Matt, your mic is up. And we're just starting the show today. It's 10 minutes after the hour. It's 12 noon here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Jeff for, I was glad to have a show. I didn't get any bad reports walking through because I have to walk through several of the studios to get to mine. And I didn't hear, no rocks got thrown at me, no eggs for Jeff and Ben being home alone. Because I didn't get to listen.
They were good. I listened.
They were good.
They did well.
So, and if anybody sees Brown, tell him it's going to be me and him when I find him. So I hear he acts bad during the breaks.
Uh-oh.
It's like children. So let's go back to this sorbet thing. Question for you.
Yes.
Dr. Danielle is a naturopath.
Yes.
And she is with us every first Wednesday of the month. And today we're going to be talking with her just about how she got into practice. But before I do that, we were talking about, you said Amy got a ice cream maker that you just put the ingredients in and put it in the freezer and then it makes ice cream.
Yes.
No ice, no salt, no nothing. You just put the ingredients.
Yeah.
You have to mix them and put the cream.
Yeah, you mix
you
it
make
all
the
together.
Cream.
You mix it all together and then you put it in this thing. And
is it healthier for me to do that that way than for me to go to the store and buy Breyers?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because if you look at the recipes for something like that, there's usually 4 to 5 ingredients. And if you read the ingredients on the back of the stuff that we buy off the shelf, there's usually 12. You know, it's kind of like making chocolate chip cookies. You got, 7 ingredients that you put in there, but you go and you buy a box of chocolate chip cookies at the store and there's 15.
Right.
Most of them you can't pronounce. So, yeah, homemade is definitely better.
Speaking of, you said you make sorbet.
I do.
And you make fruit?
Yeah.
Out of fruit and all that. The soda thing, is that a good thing, the soda machines where you make your own?
No. The thing with carbonated water that most people don't understand is that the carbon in the water, the actual carbon atom, competes with the oxygen atom in your blood, and it wins. So then we don't have enough oxygen in our blood because the carbon is winning out and making us toxic.
So let's go back to this thing again. How about club soda? That's the carbon, huh? Dr. Danielle. Okay, let's say this. Some of us are not going to give up carbonated sodas.
That's true. But and that's a personal choice.
So if we're not going to give up carbonated soda, is it better for me to go to the natural way of making it instead of going back to the Coca-Cola can? They're not one of my sponsors. I can say it out loud.
Yeah, Paula's got one of those soda stream things. Yeah.
And that's what I'm asking. So if I can make my own, is that healthier for me?
You know what? I don't know enough about those machines to know how they work and what the ingredients are, what's in the mixes that you get for them.
Can't you make your own mixes? Sticks? I don't have one yet.
We don't have any recipes for them. I mean, you can carbonate just about anything with it you can carbonate lemonade if you want to.
Right. So if I can make my own iced tea or my own – so say that I like strawberry, mm-hmm. and I make my own strawberry syrup.
Okay.
And then I carbonate it for a strawberry soda.
You're better off just doing the strawberry juice with a juicer and not doing the carbonation, because when there's too much carbon in the bloodstream and not enough oxygen, then that depletes the internal organs of oxygen. It makes it difficult for them to breathe. We need oxygen for our cells to be able to – every single cell in the body actually breathes. There's a respiration. There's an in and out and an exchange of nutrients and waste. You know, the nutrients come in and the cell rids itself of the waste. So it's better not to have the carbon in the water because of the damage that it does in the blood displacing the oxygen.
Now let's take this one step further. What about carbon-filtered water? Does the carbon actually end up in the water or not?
That's different. What you're doing is kind of an osmosis, where the carbon, it's a different kind of carbon. You're not talking about like a carbon molecule like would be in the air. We're talking about the solid carbon, like charcoal kind of thing. And that's a different situation.
Okay. It doesn't leach into the water.
Not the way that you would think, no.
Okay.
There is some residue, but it's in an organic form that the body knows how to use, and the osmosis actually chemically transforms it into something that you can use. It's not something that I would say, hey, you make sure you got plenty of carbon in your water in that form, but that's a different process.
Matt is on the phone, and Matt just wrote in the chat room that you say this while he's drinking a Pepsi, so he just threw the Pepsi up against the wall. Hey, Matt, your mic is on.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, you know, Matt, darling.
I just have a question because, you know, what you say makes absolute sense. I like to drink water, okay? You know, if I'm outside or whatever, there's nothing like a good bottle of water or a glass of water or a nice iced tea. But, man, there's something about a Pepsi or a carbonated drink that really appeals to me. What is it that's so appealing about carbonation in a drink?
You know, I don't think it's actually the carbonation. I think it's the sugar. I think it's the other chemicals that trick the body into believing that there's food coming. And so it suppresses the appetite. And then we get the satiated, like, feel-good feeling that, oh, yeah, that was great. Now I have some energy because now I'm on a sugar high. And my body thinks that there's food, but I'm going to burn off the sugar really fast. And the next thing you know, I'm crashing. And, oh, well, I need another one. And now I feel better. And so it creates this cycle.
So what happens when I don't have... Oh, that was
you. That's my fault.
What happens when you're doing diet sodas? There's no sugar in diet sodas.
No, there are chemical sugar substitutes that are sweet. And actually, aspartame metabolizes inside the body into formaldehyde.
Well, that's why we're living longer.
We're living longer, but you know,
the
reality is we're not living longer. We're medicated earlier. We have diseases that were classified as old age diseases being diagnosed in people in their 20s and 30s. We have type 2 diabetes, which was an adult onset diabetes that, you know, was overweight people usually over the age of 40, you know, just 60 years ago. And now we're seeing 8 and 10-year-old kids being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
That's because they don't play outside.
It's because we're eating the wrong kinds of foods. It's because we're not feeding our bodies. It's because we're consuming these food artifacts that are not chemically balanced the way that we're designed to run on. They just trick the metabolism. They trick our bodies into thinking that there's something coming that's going to actually – be nutritious and energizing for us and give us the building blocks that we need. And then it gets through the digestive process and the stomach sends a signal back to the brain that says, you need to send me more food because there's nothing here I can work with.
Now wait, Doc, because my grandpa wouldn't eat a vegetable unless it bit him, and he lived to be 82. My grandmother made gravy with every meal.
Okay. What were they making it from?
Flour, fat.
Right. So the thing to remember is that in our grandparents' age, we didn't have this mass quantity of genetically modified foods. We didn't have cattle that were raised in stalls and injected with hormones and antibiotics and fed genetically modified grain foods. They got out and they got exercise and they ate the grass.
I got to disagree with you on that. I grew up on a farm. We always grain-fed cattle, beef cattle.
But starting in 1984, we began with grains that are grain-fed feed that was not a supplement. You know, my grandparents had a farm too, and their cattle went out and they grazed. And yeah, they had grain that they were fed, but they did go out and they grazed. But the feed now, since the genetically modified foods have been introduced, is mainly from the corn and the soy, which are our top GMO products in the U.S., and that makes a big difference. You know, the meat back then was much purer and much healthier than what we have now.
I don't know if I agree with you. You see a Duroc hog from the 60s compared to one today? They
just
were much fatter. The meat now is much leaner. And that's
because
they're
malnourished.
No, it's because of genetics. They've been bred leaner because that's what the market demands.
But the thing to understand is that, yeah, they're being bred leaner, but how are they doing that? The natural state of that hog was to be that big. And when they were fed a healthy, clean diet, they were healthy. And they were, there was fat on them, but they were healthy animals. The same with the cows, same with the chickens. And
also just to piggyback on what you're saying, they weren't, the chemtrails, they weren't pumping chemicals in our air. We have toxic levels. If you test lakes and rivers right now, it's toxic. It's considered toxic. It's like 21,000 times the level it's supposed to be of chemicals because they're flying over every day, pumping chemicals in the air on purpose. And when you look at cancer and a lot of things, that these diseases that take place, you have these people have high levels of that same stuff. That those are the only, what is it, in an experiment, those are the controls, is the with the chemicals that they're giving and the genetic alterations, which also a lot of, after two generations, lab rats can't reproduce if they're fed on, if they do all this genetic altering of their foods after a couple of generations. I don't know if it's two, but I know.
Pottinger's cat?
I don't. All I know is that there are a lot of women I've dated that, you know, not like I'm all out there like that, but what I'm saying is that there are women out there, a lot of women that I've dated always have menstrual problems in their 20s. I'm talking about 27, 28, menstrual. A lot of them can't have kids.
That's true.
I know a lot of women, and it's a lot more prevalent than it used to be.
Well, part of that, you're referring to Pottinger's cat experiment, where he fed a control group of cats nothing but cooked meats and pasteurized milk, and another group the raw unpasteurized milk and raw meats, and the group that was fed the cooked and pasteurized processed foods by the third generation couldn't reproduce. They were sickly. They had diseases earlier and earlier. And then by feeding them the raw foods within two generations, all of those things came back. And we're seeing those similar things in humans. The majority of what we eat today is processed.
Well, the soil doesn't have the nutrients. The plants can live off a certain amount of stuff, and they'll look the same. But when we eat them, they lack certain things because the soil isn't as rich as it used to be. And this is done, to me, I think, on purpose. But I think when you see these chemtrails, I know chemtrails, they talk about it, but it's a lot of declassified information about that.
I agree with you to a point on that. Definitely the soils are depleted because we're not rotating crops. We're growing the same crop that pulls specific nutrients out of the soils, and we're not letting the soils rest.
But let me ask, I really want to ask a question, though, about water. I heard you talking about water. What if I can't get to the best water? What if I, like, I'm at, you know, I sit in the cubicle, I exercise, I get water after work, but sometimes during the day, it's hard to try to drink, you know, 80 to 100 ounces of water in, like, you know, after you get off work. So you want to try to do it during the day, but sometimes I can't, and I find myself drinking the office water, which is supposed to be filtered, but it's, I can taste it and tell it's not, you know, you rub it and you can just tell in your mouth it's not the real thing. Is that still, is it good to get some water? And also the other question is, what about vitamins? Can you just buy vitamins at the store and you're okay, or is that a problem?
Okay, let me address the water first. If the water that you have is tap water and that's all you have at the moment, then that's fine. There is an 80-20 rule. And I've said this a number of times, 80% of the time you're feeding your body what it needs in the right proportions and the right combinations, then it can handle the 20% of the junk that we throw at it. That being said, just a little bit of pre-planning for situations like that, where maybe you bring in a gallon of your own water or something of the sort, or bottles of water, you know you need 60 ounces throughout the day, so you bring in three
Which water would you buy?
I recommend spring water or artesian water, and there are a number of different brands out there. And the reason I recommend those is that the spring water and the artesian water are not all adulterated. They're not. The purified water is just run through a filter. It's the same thing as putting a pure filter on your tap and then putting it into a bottle. So I recommend the spring water. The spring water will have the right balance of vitamins and minerals in it. Now,
any spring water?
Any spring water.
Okay.
Yeah, spring water or artesian water. I know Fiji's like the big artesian.
I love Fiji water, but, yeah, you know, it's high.
It is. It's pricier than the others.
But it's good.
It's got a great taste to it. I usually get Deer Park.
Okay.
There are a number of them. So you just have to read. Look for the spring water or the artesian water. Those are the best. But if you're in a pinch and all you've got is tap water, then have a glass of tap water.
And I have a question on the water thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, people are selling alkaline water and then iodine or ionized water.
Yes, and, away from those.
And it's supposed to make you healthy and oxygenate your blood system. And,
yeah,
and they're selling these machines for like $3,000 so that you can put the water in the blood and all that. Is that real?
It's a marketing thing.
Okay.
It's, you know, yes, they're. Because in the U.S. we suffer from an overabundance of acidosis, where the body is too far to the acid range and it leaches calcium out of the bones to keep that balance so we stay alive. Now there's this market that we want to be more alkaline, so now they're making alkaline water. Water should not be alkaline. Water should be neutral. When you're testing the pH, your water should be neutral, and then it does what it's supposed to do inside the body. You start chemically altering.
But we're chemically altering stuff every day.
Well, that's why we're so sick.
I'm not sick.
I can tell you, when it comes to water, when I was on the submarine, when we were underway, we drank distilled water. That's what it was, because that's the only way you could get water. I was thirsty the entire time we were at sea. Didn't matter how much I drank, I was thirsty the entire time we were at sea.
And part of that was probably nutritionally based, but the other part is that distilled water is dead. There's nothing in it. And you can't survive on that long term.
So why do some people drink only distilled water? I mean, I see some athletes or some people that are working out, and they're on the distilled water kick. What's
wrong with that? There is the misconception that distilled water is pure. And the reality is that the reality is distilled water is dead. There is nothing vital about that water. All of the minerals and the vitamins that are naturally in spring water, naturally, the way God made it, are removed during the distillation process. Before I forget, I want to get back. He had a question about the vitamins. I don't recommend vitamins for a number of reasons. Number one, if you don't know what your food allergies are, there is a really high probability that the base of that vitamin could be a food allergen for you, in which case your body doesn't absorb any of it. The second reason is because most vitamins are made from what we call organic cell salts, which is kind of the equivalent of going down to the quarry and picking up some mineral and chewing on it. That's not the way our body's designed to use it. And the very most important reason I don't recommend vitamins is that if you have a specific symptom, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're low in that vitamin. You need to know for sure what your body's asking for. Because if you do, especially multivitamins, if you're just throwing vitamins at it, you could actually be causing an imbalance in something else.
But now, when you say vitamins, and when you're, if I go to a physician and they prescribe a regimen of various vitamins, mm-hmm. I mean, there are some people that, yes, it would be better to go the natural way, absolutely, to get all my vitamins out of juicing, get out of, but there are some people, and, you know, it is the truth, you can, you know, they're not going to do, what do you call it, Ben? What do you call it, sticks?
What's that?
You call it seeds and...
Stems and twigs.
Stems and twigs. They're not going to eat it that way. I mean, they're not going to eat... If you don't like broccoli, if you don't like green leafy lettuce, and you don't like greens, and you don't like asparagus and anything green, and you never have since you were a kid, you could... Or I'll give you... You couldn't pay me to eat an egg.
But broccoli...
I would have to be really... Honestly, we would have to be, like, completely destitute, dead, and there's nothing else to eat. Minus people, we need to actually eat an egg.
But if you put enough cheese sauce on it, even broccoli tastes good.
But I'm saying, I mean, there are some people, they're just not going to do it.
Yeah, right,
you've got
aren't.
To get, so is it better to go get a prescription from a doctor and get a actual, if I need vitamin E, because they've done the testing to find out what I'm deficient in, mm-hmm. and do it that way.
How are they testing? Because by the time it shows up in your blood work, your body's already been deficient. And for it to become pathological and show up in the blood work, you're already in a disease crisis. Even if you're still highly functioning, there is something going on inside the body that is completely devoid of that for your blood to show that you're low in it. And the other thing, too, is that the blood work can be misleading because your blood work can come back and say that, oh, well, you have plenty of vitamin D. Vitamin D is a big one. Your vitamin D levels are fine in your blood. Okay, that's great. Am I absorbing that vitamin D, though? That's the big question, because you can get plenty of that into your diet, and if you don't have enough of the receptor vitamins, the vitamins and minerals that work together and create the key that unlocks the receptor cell that takes all of these building blocks to the right places, it's not going to get there. You know, the receptor cell looks kind of like a golf ball, and in each of the little divots there.
So how do you find out what your decision is?
A big part of it is knowing how to read the body. A lot of times I'll do nail analysis. That'll tell me where someone's calcium levels are, if they're deficient in zinc. If there's a general malabsorption, I can see that by reading the nails. The tongue, reading the eyes, taking a look at the skin. I do a bioscan. I do kinesio testing, which is simply muscle testing, and the body responds much faster to by a weakness in the muscles than it does. You'll get that feedback from the body by muscle testing before you'll get it in the blood.
Hey, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. You can call locally if you'd like. The number is 330-781-9600. See what happens when I take off a couple of days. I still don't know the numbers here. I'll turn the mic off. Hey, listen, make sure if Brown calls in, he doesn't act crazy, because if he does, I'm not going to take it anymore.
What's up, Alabama?
Yeah, what's up?
Nothing much. I kind of tattled on Brown yesterday, so I brought up that...
I mean, you know, hey.
So I brought up that conversation yesterday or the day before where, you know, he kind of went off on you. You gave it right back, but, you know... There's no excuse for that.
Hey, Alabama.
Yeah, what's up?
Like we're going to be bumping heads here if the BCS polls stay the way they are.
Wow, what's going on?
Alabama number one, Clemson number two.
Oh, well, yeah, Clemson pretty good this year. Clemson's pretty good this year.
As long as they can keep everybody healthy, all is good.
I mean, honestly, I feel like Alabama is actually on a down year. I mean, this is supposed to be a down year for us. So, I mean, they actually outplaying what they're supposed to be playing, because I thought Ole Miss was going to give them a run for their money. So we'll see when LSU comes. I mean, if they beat LSU, they in the game. Yeah. They in the title game, and then it's going to be us in Georgia. And Georgia is kind of one of those schools that, I mean, it just is iffy. You know what I'm saying? You don't really know. But
it all depends on which one shows up for Georgia, man.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, even if he shows up and plays good, I mean, the guy is not a clutch quarterback. I mean, that's Andy Murray, whatever his name is, not a good – he's not a good quarterback to me.
Yeah. No, I don't think he is, but he just he's more lucky than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, they beat LSU at home. Of course you're going to beat LSU at home. I mean, it's an uphill battle, but can you go into LSU and beat that? No, we all know he can't do that. He can't go to Texas A&M and win. I doubt it. But and they don't have a good defense.
Yeah. but guys, I got my health insurance stuff back and I started thinking about it, and I was over by my doctor's office, so I stopped over there yesterday and inquired about how much my payments were going to be offered for the office visits now, since I've got a high deductible. And as it turns out, when I go to the doctor, my office visit is going to be $144 plus whatever test that I've got to get done. And so I'm looking at anywhere from $300 to $900 a visit.
That's impossible, South. I just talked to a guy yesterday who told me that it was already proven that the office visits, the deductibles, and your copays and such were through the floor, ridiculously low. So that can't be right.
I actually went on. Actually, it's funny because it is October. We're doing open enrollment here, and mine went up. But you know, I hadn't been here that long, so. It jumped, but it didn't jump, but like maybe $25. So I didn't really stress it, but
well,
I mean,
so far.
I mean, yeah, but I just got here. But they're saying other people that've been here 9 years saying it's went way up. But you know, to me, it's just a 25. You know, I just got here in May, April. So for me, it's not a big jump.
Would you check the deductible that they gave you?
Well, I mean, the deductibles are terrible. I mean, you go in, we're talking about $2,500. I mean, it just if something happens, I mean, it's pretty high. That's what they complain about. People are complaining about that, saying that, you know. My thing is, I'm on the lines of the guest he has on the show. I kind of feel like medicine is bought out and contaminated just like any other industry in America, a lot of industries. So the defense industry contaminated. So if you sit and trust these doctors to take care of you, you got to take your own life in your own hands and exercise and try to watch what you eat. Of course, if you're in a car, nothing you can do, but try your best to, you know, try to avoid having to deal with them, because these guys, man, they'll kill you. That's just how I feel about it. And I don't think they even know they'll kill you. they think they're helping you, but they're really killing people. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. So, I mean, I don't really, you know, I agree with her.
It's funny you say that, because I take my mom to the doctor, and she's a vegetarian, so she only eats, you know, vegetables and in the rare, very, very, very rare occasion, she might have a piece of fish or something. But she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her this medicine, gave her a prescription for it, and she just told him, she says, I'm not taking that mess. Don't even write it down, because I'm not going to take it. Because you'll never kill me.
Yeah. I feel like most of these people that are having these breakouts and going having mental breakdowns, there's an extremely high level of statistical chance that when you own these psychotropic drugs they're giving people, that you're going to have breakdowns. You're going to have – and these pharmaceutical companies know this. They lobbied the government to pass these drugs through so they can make their money. Now they're directly marketing people.
ADD, ADHD, all those things they're pushing in schools. Absolutely, yeah.
You know what?
I mean, they say what is it? 1 in 20%, you know, like 20% of the kids out here own drugs now.
Yeah, you know how to correct ADD, right? It's called
whoopee
ass. It's called whoopee ass.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, I was in school. I had energy for days, man. I could run around. They had to drug me up. I'd probably be right here and shot. I went crazy. It's just how it is. I used to get up and run around the house. I would get up in the middle of the night, 10 o'clock on a Friday, just run outside. When I was a kid, I would just do it. Just, I had all the energy in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I started working with my dad, you know, out in the woods, man. And by the time you got finished with him out there, you didn't worry about nothing. You were too tired to do anything.
Yeah. I disagree with that guess she had that time from that university that was like, there's nothing wrong with genetically altered foods. And I totally disagree with him. I was like, but he's part of the he's been programmed. He doesn't know any better. But he was just saying that. He was like, there's nothing wrong with it. That's a myth. We're actually living longer. I'm like, we're living longer because they're drugging us. We could probably live even longer. If they fix the drugging, just because they give you a drug don't mean they prolong your life.
So what you're saying, Alabama, is we're just like cucumbers in the pickle jar?
Basically.
They got us pickled up so we last longer?
Man, that's the thing. I don't feel like people, you know, could – there's no telling how long people – the lifespans of people could be if given optimal nutrition. I believe that. That's not – that's just common sense. If you take a car and you put the right oil in it, you follow the manual, you change oil every 5,000-6,000 miles, you change your spark plugs, you change your wires, you stay in the speed limit, you don't overrun the car, man, these cars will run you 300,000 miles.
Alabama.
What's up?
What are y'all talking about? Because I'm back.
We're talking about the human body. We're talking about how to run if you got good nutrition, how it should work.
Are you still at the gym?
Well, I don't know. I'm out here. I'm just chilling. I'm in the sun. Just chilling.
Well, listen, hold on just a second. I've got a guest on
the line. I'm getting some vitamin D.
And listen, I got a guest on the line, and he's been listening in while we've been at the break, and his name is Scott. We're going to let him pronounce his own name because we did it while he's not here, and he didn't hear us mispronounce it, so we're going to let him pronounce his own name. And he's talking about seceding from the state, not seceding from the union, and that's an interesting topic. So we're going to switch gears, then we'll come back to Dr. Danielle and talk about water bottles and naturopaths and eating twigs and grass. What is the truth?
No,
I'm with him already. He ain't even heard. He ain't even said a word. I agree. Go ahead.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome
I'm
to Tracy and
fine.
Friends.
Thanks
did
for
they,
having
they
me.
They didn't scare you away during my break, did they?
No, it's actually good. And, in fact, if you don't mind, can I just tell you my own personal health care experience
sure,
now with the Affordable Care Act? So I live in Maryland. I have private insurance, my own individual policy with my children on it through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Maryland. 2 weeks ago, I received notice that they are terminating my plan, effective January 1st, 2014, because it is not in compliance with the Affordable Care Act. So the options for me are to choose from a plan that they are offering that is compliant, and those plans have a whole slew of coverages that I have no interest in having. And the closest plan to what I have now, which actually has a slightly higher deductible for the individual and the family, increases my monthly premium by 96%. So I'm being forced out of my plan, and I know you heard lots of politicians and elected officials say, if you want to keep your insurance, you can keep it. It's not true. Had to have mine's been terminated or will be terminated January 1, and I'm being forced into a plan to have coverages I don't want or need and have to pay twice the amount of money, and if I don't do it, they're going to fine me. How is that a free society? How is that a free society when you can't make your own choices about what products you want to buy or not buy, for that matter? So the other part that's kind of funny is they said, they tried to brag in part of the information they sent me about how I'm going to be covered for pregnancy services. Well, my wife's not on my policy. I have nobody on my policy that can get pregnant, and I can't get anyone pregnant because I had a vasectomy a few years ago. So I don't need pregnancy services on mine. Why would anybody force me to have to pay for that?
Why not?
Well, come on. You know
why. It's America. You can be. Listen, I read the other day in an article that there was a man somewhere and he had a baby.
Yeah, okay. I mean, how does somebody even comment on that? All I got to say is if I'm capable of having a baby, I'm going to be a wealthy man because everybody's going to want to examine me and prod me and poke me and interview me, and I'm going to charge them all for it if I ever get pregnant. So,
man, I don't understand why people are not listening to what's coming out of the words of other people. If you can't sign them up, you can imagine what's happening when you're going to go try to field all these people being on the system.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
There are a lot of people that are hurting. There are a lot of people that are hurting out there, and they're not getting the services. And then there are a lot of people out there that were fine where they were, and their whole world has now changed.
Absolutely. So I want to know, I mean, my wife has a separate policy, and I'm going to just guess. We haven't looked at hers yet. Hers will roughly double as well. So if my premiums go up $8,000, you know, end up being $8,000 more a year, you know, how do I just immediately cut my existing expenses to meet that? How do I do that? I mean, I don't sit around on, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of free cash flow every month, okay? Well, I mean, it actually takes effort for me to figure out, oh, I have to sell my car and get it one that's less, or I have to cut out these, or I have to buy my kids less clothes, or buy less food, or whatever. I mean, there is a real impact to real people here.
Well, then also, it stands to reason, you could have probably taken $300 a month and put it in some low-interest, you know, low-risk vehicle. And by the time you're a certain age, when things happen, you got the money to take care of it. That could have been done.
Well, I don't think there's anything low risk anymore. I mean, I think it's all high risk given the monetary and fiscal policy of this country and where it's going. So I think those that are going to be in dollars, if you want to get into a dollar discussion here, I'd be glad to, although I think we want to talk about the whole Western Maryland thing. But the fact is there is no low risk thing. I mean, people with savings in dollars are going to get punished badly as a result of the profligate spending and the poor monetary policy in this country. Sorry, my phone keeps ringing.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
And you're correct. The problem is the American people have there's still a good 47% of the American people who think that we're talking, you know, we hate Obama.
To do with Obama, right? I mean, this is not an Obama issue at all. And in fact, the whole issue about the secession movement, for instance, just to segue into that for a moment, is not a right-left issue. It's not a conservative-liberal issue. It is simply people wanting to exercise their right of self-determination and self-governance to establish a political society that comports with how they wish to be governed. And to force people to live in states or to live under one national policy where it's one size fits all is ridiculous in a country of 310 million diverse people. We are very diverse people in many ways. And I don't mean just by things like, you know, hair color and skin pigmentation. I mean, we're diverse in our interests, our wants, our needs, our talents, everything. And this one-size-fits-all policy is why half the country's mad when the R's are in power and half the country's mad when the D's are in power, and you're pitting brother against brother and neighbor against neighbor. And they want us fighting each other, right? I mean, both parties like the status quo because they both like being in power, and they want to pit us against each other, whether it's by, you know, class, race, or any other ways they can divide us. And this is ridiculous. This is not how free people live.
How realistic is for you to succeed from the state? Seriously.
It's difficult, right? I mean, we've been very upfront that it's difficult. It's completely legal in a constitutional process. Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution stipulates that existing states can be erected out of, new states can be erected out of existing states. It requires the approval of the state you're leaving and also of the Congress.
We got that little thing right there, but how in the world do you get approval from the state and from the Congress when the Congress will not yield you moving this conservative part of your state out of it so that they can control Maryland inside of their state?
Okay, so one thing, I wouldn't call it conservative because each county is very different. Some of the counties are very evenly split, other counties are not. We don't really look at it that way, right? We look at it more of an urban-rural divide. The rural people have very different interests and wants. I mean, it's very agricultural-based, mining-based, et cetera, right? Small bedroom community-based. It's not urban at all. We don't need mass transit. We don't need all these things that are going on in cities like Baltimore, Bethesda, or Bowie. So it's really an urban-rural divide issue more than anything. And it's also an issue of representation. And here's the real problem that I see in many states, and that is gerrymandering, right? I'm against gerrymandering. I don't care what party it is or whoever's drawing the maps. But in Maryland, if you look at the state senate districts, for instance, Baltimore County, Baltimore City, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, four jurisdictions out of 24 have 25 or 47 senate seats. Okay, so we cannot even through the normal electoral process change the balance of power here because we've been gerrymandered so badly. Okay, and that is a problem. So they what they expect is that they have a rigged game with a rigged field with rigged rules, and they own all the referees, and they expect us to come in and play on their rules. That's like saying you're going to blindfold me, put one arm behind my back, and make me jump in the ring with Joe Frazier, right? I mean, I'd have no chance of winning that fight. I wouldn't have a chance anyways, but if that were the case. But you get the point. And this is the issue that's going on not just in Maryland, but in northern Colorado, in California, in upstate Michigan and Wisconsin. Upstate New York is looking at starting this effort. Tucson, Arizona, which is very left or progressive on the political spectrum, is looking to break away from Arizona because they think it's too conservative. And there's some talk of the Democrats in southern Florida starting an effort to split off the southern part of Florida for the same reasons. And I support all these efforts because I support the right of self-determination and self-governance.
So if you were to split off, you would become a whole separate state unto yourself.
Yep.
That state would be realigned based upon the population, and then you would have your representation inside of Congress and have a say.
Well, I'm not so worried about the federal level representation here, even though that is a problem in our state. I mean, we have one district where we that spans the eastern shore of Maryland, starting in Ocean City, coming all the way up the entire Chesapeake Bay on the east side, all the way across the north, and all the way across into Carroll County. Okay, that's like five. You know, that's over half the state right there, and it's one congressional district. And what they do, what they did is in 1990 we used to have a map where in Maryland four of the seats were held by Republicans and four by Democrats. In 2000 they gerrymandered it and it went to 6-2, and now they even gerrymandered it worse and got it down to 7-1. So, but I'm not really worried about the federal representation, right? I'm more concerned with the oppression and the abuse that comes out of Annapolis, because we are taxed, but we in essence have no representation. They take money out and they spend it on their projects like light rail and stadiums and paying for the school system in Baltimore City. Well, why should they be taking our tax money and spending it there? We should be able to have a say in how that's being done, and we have no say in that.
Well, what do you say to those people that say the rural people take more out of the system than they put in?
Well, number one, I'd say I don't believe that to be true, but let's for a moment say it is true. Then it should be a win-win for Maryland. If we're taking more out of the state, then it should be a win-win, because then they don't have to send that money there anymore, and they can straighten up their own fiscal health.
But that would change the shift of balance and power within the state, am I correct?
Well, no, I mean, what would be the old Maryland would be, you know, 19 jurisdictions instead of 24. The power would essentially remain the same in the old state. The new state will be whatever it is. You know, we'd obviously have to establish a new state constitution, and we'd have to look at exactly what we want our state government to do. I can, at a very high level, assure you it's going to be leaner and more effective. We're going to have policy committees looking at issues like law enforcement, education, social services, revenue, budget, and economy, things like that. So we are going to look at, you know, first, should this even be done by government or should it be done by private business? Second, should it be a state-level thing or a county-level thing? And then third, you know, when we reach some conclusions on what we want the role of government to be, the role of the new state government, then we have to determine an appropriate funding model for that.
How big would the state be?
So with population
size.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be 653,000, and it would not be the least populous state. There are two states with less population. Wyoming has about 570,000, and Vermont has about 626,000 people.
And now what happens when one of those counties becomes another urban mecca center?
Well, I don't think that's the case.
I mean, it's not hard to do.
No,
I mean, you move off and you have a county, then you have your with a new state, you have a new state capital. You start getting revenue funds in and you start building that, you know, that capital into a business center, which is now no longer rural.
Well,
because
I
as
see
money
it a
comes in,
different.
You begin to grow. I know
well,
you see it a little bit different, but I'm asking you, I'm saying as it evolves, because if you look at what happens, even if you look at, you know, in the state of Ohio, Columbus at one time was all farmland. And you can't find a farm anywhere in the land, even though it's the most craziest populated, how they've designed it, city I've ever seen. But nevertheless, you know, it was farmland. And so what happened, and now it's very, very populated. It's very, very dense. And
I've been there many
city.
Times. Right. I've been there many times. I've done work up there. So, I'm familiar with Columbus. So,
how do we stop that?
Let me back up and try to answer it a slightly different way, and you can tell me if I've done a good job. There is no magic to 50 states, right? I mean, we have states as big as California with about 38 million people and as small as Wyoming with 570,000 people. The issue that I see, and I described it a little bit before, is this whole idea of nationalism and pushing every issue up to the national level, whether it's healthcare, whether it's a rights issue, whether it's any issue. Almost every issue now doesn't even get resolved in the states anymore. It gets resolved at the national levels. And what we have is we have the R's and the D's fighting each other and half the country mad at the other half and vice versa, depending on who's in power. And we're divided in that way. The answer to this, to nationalism, is the American system of federalism. But why 50 states? Imagine for a moment 400 or 500 states, just to pick a number, where you could have some states so far left, they would be entirely socialist. You can have states so far right that they have very few laws and regulations. And then you'll have many, many in between. It will be the Baskin-Robbins of states, right? I mean, you will have all different flavors. And the key here is that other people don't force me to live under a system I don't want to live in, and I don't force other people, right? I don't want to exercise power or dominion over other people and how they wish to be governed. So if you want to live in a state that's way to the right or way to the left or somewhere in the middle, good for you. Go do that. And we know monopolies generally are considered bad, not good things. So let's have more competition at the state level where people can go and live peacefully, where we're not always fighting each other and nationalizing every issue and dividing the country up. And that's how you get 310 million people to live peacefully and harmoniously together.
Hold on, Alabama. Hold on. Are you willing to take calls?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, hold on, Alabama, because I want to pull 201 in first, because they've been waiting in the wings, and I've got a private caller that I got to pull in also. Go ahead, 201. Your mic is on.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. You know, in theory, that sounds great, and I like, you know, the self-determination. But you're going to have a little state. You're going to get two senators, you know, on the federal level. You're going to be, you know, equal then with, you know, Texas and California and Ohio. And what if everybody started doing this? I think it'd be better for you to just kind of maybe change your state, or why don't you move?
Well, that obviously is an option that I can move, right? But why? But that doesn't solve the gerrymandering problem that's going on. That doesn't solve the representation problems, the taxation problems, and other things. secondly, I would simply add that when we go back and we look at government, I mean, we have to get into this a little bit philosophically. When we look at the question of government, what is government? All of our governments, whether it's federal or state, are based upon consent of the governed and the people are the sovereigns, right? It's in the Declaration of Independence that that government is instituted by men and their just powers are derived by the consent of the governed. It is also in Maryland's Declaration of Rights in Article 1, where it says the people have at all rights the inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in any manner they deem expedient. Every political society we have, and that's all a government is a political society, is based on that. So if we have a right to create them, we also have a right to leave them. And if we don't wish to be part of the state of Maryland, that political society, and we say, let's create a new one, so be it. There is no right or wrong answer to the size of every state, okay? And then the other important factor here is the founders and the framers understood when they wrote the Constitution that, one, they wanted peaceful transitions of power. And one of those was through the electoral process. So every 4 years when we elect a president, we have peaceful transition of power. They had a long history in Europe of violent revolution and overthrows of government and whatnot. They planned for that in the Constitution. They also planned for the growth of the population and that as the population grew, there would be a need and a desire for states to be formed out of other states. It's happened many times. Maine out of Massachusetts, Vermont out of New York, Kentucky out of Virginia, Tennessee out of North Carolina, West Virginia out of Virginia, and Alabama and Mississippi came out of the Georgia territories. So it's been done. It just hasn't been done for a while. So they wanted that, so they had peaceful ways for people to do this. If you deny people these rights to self-determination and self-governance, then you basically are saying, we are going to hold you into a political society against your will, and you must take all the oppression and all the abuse that we give you. And it's the equivalent of what I would call political slavery. You have nowhere to go.
There.
I'm sorry?
I think we're almost there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a real problem, right? I mean, and you know, not to diminish, I'm going to give you another analogy, and I don't want to diminish anyone that's, you know, anybody that's ever been involved in, you know, domestic violence. But if you think about a man and a wife and a woman, if they're married and the man's abusing the woman and she talks to him about it, tries to work around it, and it doesn't help, and it continues. Then they go to marriage counseling, and they try that, and it continues. And then finally the woman says, I've had enough, I'm leaving. And the man says, oh, no, you have to stay because I say you have to stay. I mean, how much abuse and oppression do people have to take? And you need to let them peacefully decide these things, not force them to stay in a situation they have no desire to stay in. And I think our differences are irreconcilable, and all we want is an amicable divorce.
How long do I have you booked for? I've got to get do I have you for a little bit longer? I've got to take a top of the hour break in a few minutes.
Well, I mean, I can stay as long as you want me to stay.
You can stay for a little while because I want to open my phone lines. Brown, is this you privately? Brown,
yes,
is that
good.
You?
Yeah,
Brown,
good morning.
You gotta make a promise to me that you will be kind, you will be nice, and you will not curse even when we're not on live air.
I'll do my best.
No. There is no best. You have to promise me that.
I promise you that.
All
I
right.
Understand
it's
you're on terrestrial radio as well. Exactly.
Okay.
Even when I'm on my break,
because those lines are still live, whether you know it or not.
I don't know. Sometimes I thought there
okay.
was a green room.
No, there's no green room.
No, I can't promise you anything, but no profanity.
No profanity. All right.
No profanity.
And be
no
kind
profanity.
To my guest. No, I'll be kind to my guests. Listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM.
I'll be kind.
All right. I'm listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown,
Brown.
Warren. The
you
home
there?
For afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
I really can't argue with the man. The man making good points to me.
Hey, Brown, are you there?
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, people didn't take advantage of the extended hours at the Board of Elections for voter registration in Mahoning County. Only 5 people stopped at the office yesterday, but 4 of them were already registered voters. State law requires all 88 county boards in Ohio to stay open until 9 p.m. Monday, the final day to register to vote in the general election November 5th. The Mahoning County coroner released the name of the woman who died in a weekend house fire. 77-year-old Kathleen Pasco died inside her home on Homewood Avenue early Saturday.
Warren, Wolf Maybe sees Vic Ratner at the Capitol.
It's bad enough that the Veterans Administration is unable to handle the backlog of claims for benefits because of the government shutdown. But VA Chief Eric Shinseki warns Congress that if the shutdown is not ended quickly, it gets worse.
VA will not be able to assure delivery of 1 November checks to more than 5.18 million beneficiaries.
Shinseki says that includes disabled and retired veterans and surviving spouses and children, for many of whom, he said, that check is their only support. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
The bodies of 4 U.S. troops who died while on duty arrived at Dover Air Force Base today. The government usually pays to send the families to meet their loved ones. The shutdown has made that impossible. A private group stepped in to cover the cost. President Obama set to make an historic announcement today. He is expected to nominate Dr. Janet Yellen to be the next head of the Federal Reserve.
This is, of course, the first woman to hold what is arguably the most important economic job in the world. It's also something that the White House hopes will reassure the markets amidst all the turmoil today.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Jonathan Carl. What is a parent to do? The father of a 9-year-old boy who stowed away on a flight from Minneapolis to Las Vegas says he has asked for help repeatedly to keep his son out of trouble. He says he was told to discipline the child.
I'm in what you call a double jeopardy. If I whoop my son, I get locked up. If I let my son keep on doing what he's doing, I get in trouble. somebody. Please help me. Please.
Social workers say the boy is still in Nevada and expected to be returning to Minnesota on Friday. This is ABC News.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $90.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Is this Brown?
This is Beasley. Who's this?
Oh, Beasley. Hey, it's Scott with the Western Maryland Initiative. Just waiting for Tracy.
Oh, you're the guy.
Hey, I don't. I don't disagree with you, sir. I really don't.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think you've got good points. And in fact, what I wanted to ask you, just I was going to be devil's advocate. Don't you think that the founding fathers wanted a strong central government?
No.
I mean, don't you? I mean, what? You know, what, shouldn't the government meet the needs of the people?
No.
Isn't that what the government's for?
Absolutely not. That is not the purpose of government. The purpose of government and the way that our government was established under the Constitution was it was supposed to be a very limited government of explicit enumerated powers, especially in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. What we have today is a government of unlimited powers. The government today can do anything it wants to do. And
but
we can't
what about
stop
states'
it.
Rights? And I mean, can't, what about states' rights and people enacting Jim Crow again if they go back to states' rights? Isn't that what will happen?
Well, I think you're assuming that will happen. I think that's a poor assumption. And let me just, and I will tell you from a very personal perspective, I guarantee you any state constitution we write for this new state, none of that's going to happen. Nobody's going to get specific advantages, and nobody's going to be disadvantaged. It's going to be a level playing field. We're not going to have cronyism and businesses getting favors through politicians. We're not going to set up a new government that way. I'm sick and tired of all this stuff with the government getting involved in, you know, and giving favors to Wall Street banks and to pharmaceutical companies and healthcare industries and agribusiness and everybody else to our detriment. We're the ones that suffer, not them.
Let me ask you something just in regards to that.
Sure.
So you're going to remove the human inclination and desire for greed. You're going to separate that from. And I'm just look throughout history.
I would be a genius if
you're
I could figure out exactly how to do that.
No, but that's
the problem.
Kind
isn't
of
it?
What, that's kind of what you speak of. You're gonna remove the. I mean, this is something that's inherently human from the.
It is. I agree.
From the beginning
you.
Of time being recorded. And
I agree completely.
That's a much harder process. That's going to take some genetic engineering. If you think that you're going to be able to put people in positions of power and they're not going to act powerful.
Well, how about if we those that are in power have very limited powers with explicit ways to enforce that power? Part of the problem
just
with the Constitution. Part of the problem. Let me finish.
Just an observation.
But part of the problem with the Constitution we have today is, if it were actually adhered to, in how it was intended, we would have a much more limited government. The problem that we have now is it's not a self-enforcing document. In fact, I say all the time the Constitution is dead because it no longer reflects the consent of the governed. It reflects whatever the personal policy preferences and penumbras of the nine politically connected lawyers in black robes are. Depending on who you have, think about this for a minute. You go into a Walmart and you steal $1,000 worth of goods and you get caught and you go to trial. 12 people have to convict you unanimously, okay? You can have an issue go up to the Supreme Court, and in a 5-4 ruling, one person can rule over 310 million people and take anything and everything away from them, period. That is
not a free society.
That is not free society.
We've seen, it's the Supreme Court is designed to be the absolute last resort.
It wasn't designed for that. That is incorrect.
It was absolutely designed when the separations of powers, and when that was framed,
you point anywhere in the Constitution where it says that the listen when they and let me back up.
It's the last.
Let me finish.
The last. It's the final rule.
No, let me finish.
It's the last place.
Can you let me finish
goes.
For a moment? Let me finish for a moment. Under the Constitution, the three branches of the federal government are co-equal. Not one branch is more powerful than the other. One branch is not supposed to control the other two branches. Okay, that's number one. Number two. If you put the opinion of nine judges as to what the Constitution means over the Constitution itself, then you don't have consent of the governed, and you do not have people that have agreed to that Constitution. Okay, number one. That's number one. How can the judges know better than the people themselves, the people that were party to the Constitution and to the ratification of the Constitution? You can't. And why should their preferences override the preferences of, let's say, 300 million people? Why is that? It should never happen that way. They are supposed to answer legal questions, not political questions. And the problem is they take everything and turn it into a political question. And they are only the other thing is they are only supreme over the inferior courts of the United States. They're not supreme over the other branches. They're not supreme over the state courts either. It was never written into the Constitution. Find me anywhere in the Constitution where it says that. It doesn't say that.
Well, let me ask you another question. What do you think about driver's license and registering then private property, drawing people's private property, property taxes, the police? I know I heard you mention the law enforcement. So how would that, make any changes to that? Because I feel like they're a little too prying, if you ask me.
Well, number one, I am an advocate of private property rights, okay? I believe it is your property and that nobody else has a rightful claim to your property, and that includes the government. In terms of law enforcement, I think the whole law enforcement apparatus from the national government all the way down to local has gotten out of control. These local police forces with these armed, tanks that they have now. I mean, look what they did in Boston. I mean, there was 9,000 law enforcement people chasing one guy. Okay, they were busting into people's houses, violating their Fourth Amendment rights. I think that's wrong. I'm a big person about rights, and I don't think government has any right to violate it. I have huge issues with the NDAA and the indefinite detention. I have issues with the Patriot Act. I have issues with a lot of the FISA courts and the secret courts and the secret testimony and the fact that people can be detained without lawyers, without due rights.
So let me ask you a question. If you're not going to do property taxes and you're not going to issue tickets to everybody going 2 miles over the speed limit, how are you going to pay for your municipalities within that state?
Okay, so property taxes in the state today are primarily county level. They're not state level. So I would leave that up to the counties to determine what they want to do. If it were up to me, I would not elevate that up to a state-level issue. If you think about traffic for the most part, we self-govern ourselves on the roads, right? I mean, most of us don't run red lights. Most of us don't run stop signs. Most of us don't drive 50 miles per hour over the speed limit, right? We self-govern because we have an interest, right, our own lives and protecting ourselves and our family. So most of us actually are capable of self-governance, okay? I'm not so worried about, if somebody speeds 2 miles over the speed limit. I mean, that's probably issue number 150,000 on the list right now. But I think law enforcement, I'll raise a question. For five counties, do we need a state police force? Why can't we just use the county sheriffs that we have today? Because all five counties have sheriffs, and they're all staffed, and let the county sheriffs handle law enforcement. Do we really have to have a state trooper, a state law enforcement? I don't know that we do. But, see, the thing is, we should question all those premises, right? We should really be asking the hard questions. Is this the appropriate role for government? And another question I would say is, if you can go to the Yellow Pages and find a service in the Yellow Pages, government doesn't need to be doing it then, because it can already be handled by private industry. There's a lot of things government does that they have no business being in the first place.
Are you going to take a breath?
Did I?
Okay, can I? No, because he's not going to take a brush because I am.
Oh, all right.
All right. See, I could go on and on. I could just go on and on this stuff.
Tell us a little bit about your organization and a little bit about if people want to read a little bit more about online and other states that might be thinking the same way that you guys are.
Sure. So the Western Maryland Initiative right now, we have a Facebook page called facebook.com/FreeWesternMaryland. We are in process of building the website right now. We've set up the nonprofit organization here in the state already. So all of that will be the new website will be rolling out in about, 20 to 30 days from now. So you can go to the Facebook page. You can also email us at freewesternmaryland@yahoo.com. The other efforts are very interesting. So, and they're a little bit different than how we're approaching it. Colorado is, is trying to separate off a number of counties. It started off with a smallish number and has now grown to where they are almost completely surrounding Denver and Boulder. Almost the entire state is starting to get on board with this. What they do out there, their county commissioners have the authority to put issues or questions on their ballots. So roughly 12 of the counties out there have agreed to put on the ballot this November the question about whether they want to leave and form a new state. So that's how they are going to determine this. I think their next steps will be dependent on how the results of those elections come out in November. Northern California, two of the counties have already voted to leave the state of California. There's about 12 more that are in process, different stages of either passing resolutions or voting to leave the state. They want to form a state called Jefferson, and that effort goes all the way back to around 1940 or so, where they had started this. And then you have an effort in upstate Michigan, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and some of the northern Wisconsin counties looking to leave those two states and create a new state. And then in upstate New York, they haven't done anything formally, but they are talking about the upstate portion of New York separating off as well. That's another one that's being pondered. And then in Tucson, Arizona, there's a group that's looking at splitting off Tucson and the surrounding area from the rest of Arizona. And then there's another group in southern Florida talking about whether they should start an effort to split off the southern part of Florida from the rest of Florida.
Give
so that's what I know
Facebook
about.
Page again.
It's facebook.com/FreeWesternMaryland.
Free Western.
Yes. And it's all spelled out, Free Western, and then the whole state, Maryland. I think that's it. I hope I got it right.
Wow. Lloyd, Styx is on it.
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Styx is
on
it.
Put it in the chat room so everybody can find it now.
Excellent.
So, and yeah, so, I liked it on Facebook.
Thank you. So it's a pretty exciting time, I think. I would tell you, you know, I go around and speak to groups. We have some community town hall meetings that we're going to be setting up in each of the counties. And when I speak to groups about this, the one thing I get is, you know, look, we don't even vote. A lot of people say we don't even vote anymore because we don't think our vote matters in this state because it's all run by one party in three or four jurisdictions. A lot of people who we try to register to vote, I used to be very active in voter registration, refuse to even register because they don't believe they can make any difference. The thing we hear from people is, you know, this is something that gives them hope and feels like it's empowering, that they can then take control of what's happening and what government is doing to them by doing this. They feel empowered. And that's something that I haven't heard out of people in a long, long time. They feel empowered. And what I like to say is, you know, we are sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? I mean, we are just tired of this, and, you know, we're frustrated. People don't know what else to do. People just don't know how to stop this leviathan of government, both at the state and the federal levels. So there's a lot of frustration going on here in the state and across the country. And people are feeling empowered by it. They're becoming reacquainted with the whole idea that they are the sovereigns and they have the power and they can do these things.
Hey, Scott, I thank you for coming on with us today. But
I'm
during the break, we were having a conversation here. And, you know, I said, can you imagine America, you know, the United States having a couple hundred states? That would be, like, really wild. It would throw off the whole balance of power. It would throw the conventions into a whirlwind. The Electoral College would be an absolute mess.
I think it would be awesome, right?
That would move the country to the right. That's what it would do.
I don't look at you guys have used the right-left conservative terms a lot. I don't look at it that way. I look at it from more control at the government level or less control and more freedom and liberty. And I'm of the opinion of we need more freedom and liberty in this country because we have almost everything we do. I mean, we can't even do anything anymore without government being involved in it. I mean, I can't go to the store. I can't go anywhere without them knowing where I am, listening to my phone calls, looking at my emails. I mean, I can't do anything in this country anymore.
Let me ask you this. I got a question. Okay,
yeah.
Let's say the tax base is in these states that's trying to leave, like just hypothetically. A lot of people, high earners, I know they say that's not true, but let's just say some high earners are trying to leave and form their own state. It would behoove these states, if they want to keep leeching off these people, to keep them in their state. So how are you going to get around that? How are you going to get – and then take it all the way to the federal level and get them to approve it, because we all know that's, you know –
We know it's a big hurdle, right? I mean, nobody's going to argue that. But let me just contrast this for a moment. In the state of Maryland, in the last 10 years, there have been about 50 to 75 tax increases or new taxes, okay? I mean, the latest one is a rain tax. I don't know if you've heard about this. So they decided they're going to pass a rain tax and only make 10 of the counties pay it. The other 14 jurisdictions get off without paying it. So I live in one of those counties that has to pay it. And if a drop of rain hits my grass, I'm good. But if it hits my roof or it hits my driveway, it's all of a sudden deemed a pollutant, and now I have to be taxed on it, okay? It's the rain tax. So
mine's
most
rain
people,
tax, but my sewer tax is the same way. I got a water bill for two people the other day for $100, and it was mostly sewer lines.
It's crazy, right? So
it didn't even rain.
But I live a well in septic, right? So, and you know, people need, you know, you can't go more than 3 to 4 days without water, without surviving. I live off my well. That's where I get my water from. So as far as I'm concerned, they're taxing my right to live, right? That is my water source, what comes and hits my ground and goes down into my well. It's my water source. And as, you know, Rick Perry was up here, Governor Perry of Texas was up here debating Governor O'Malley, and he said, look, you guys tax the rain. Down in Texas, we pray for rain. And I agree with him. I pray for rain, right? So it shouldn't be taxed. I mean, what are they going to do next? Taxes for the sun and then taxes for breathing air? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. So,
my question is, succeeding from the state is not going to change the tax, because even though you may walk into a great utopia, we're coming for your money.
Tracy, well, can you answer my question, Tracy?
Okay, please. Let
me go back to your question, the first question, though, which had to do with the business and high earners, okay? We have a very diverse population in the five counties in terms of level of income. We have some of the five counties are on the higher end, some in the middle, and some on the lower end out of the 24. Let me just contrast it. In Maryland, the business, they have a corporate tax of 8.25%. How about if we have no corporate tax and we attract businesses, because we're going to make it very business-friendly? We're not going to have corporate taxes. I mean, corporate taxes are just an expense to get passed on to the consumer anyways, and we, the people, end up paying for that anyways. So if we can reduce their costs, attract businesses, which means they're going to hire people, I guarantee you when a business is going to look at, do we go to Western Maryland or do we go to the old Maryland, they're going to say, hey, it's a lot more attractive to set up shop over there. And that's how we're going to attract a lot of people. And we have some good people that are going to be looking at the revenue budget economy behind this, and we're going to make it extremely attractive for businesses to come to the state.
Did he answer your question, Alabama? Six, you said that you, it's the same thing, because I guess where you live, you feel the same way.
Absolutely. And my grandfather was from northern Wisconsin. 50 years ago, he said the same thing. He said, the rural areas make all the money, and Madison takes it all.
That's right. I mean, I've been to Madison quite a bit. I did some work out there, too. I used to do a lot of traveling and working. So I've been to Madison, I don't know, 50, 70 times. You know, and it's a beautiful state, you know, but it's really run by a very small number of jurisdictions for the most part.
I have a question.
Yes?
Feel that you're noble in what you're doing, and I'm actually rooting for you to succeed, because I would love to see how something like this would happen and go down and how it would work, because we have not seen it since West Virginia
defeated right.
during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, being that you need the state's permission and you need permission of Congress, how would you make it feasible so that they would be willing to accept this? Because, you know, the state's got to basically get theirs. Congress has to get theirs. Because when West Virginia did it, it benefited the Union.
It did. Yep.
They were part of the Confederacy. And when they split off, in order for them to split off and be accepted by Congress and Lincoln, they ended up joining the Union.
Yep. No,
so,
I understand.
So my question is, how would you make that happen to where the state and the Congress will be accepting of this?
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell you exactly how that's going to happen. What I hope to do at the state level, and this is an unresolved question for us, is one is we want to attempt to put the question on the ballot for the November 2014 election in the five western counties. And if it comes back that those people that vote, more than a majority of them, want to form their own state, that is what we're going to use as the basis to say you need to let us go Annapolis. I think once Annapolis says we're going to go, would let us go, I think it makes it easier at the congressional level. I'm not saying it's not difficult still, but I don't have a magic answer to that, right? I mean, we just got to take this one step at a time and build the case and show that we have overwhelming support. Ultimately, and I've been very upfront with everyone, ultimately, if it comes back and the people of the five counties don't want to do this, if that's what comes out of the election process next year, we're just going to shut it down, right? We're not going to force them to do something they don't want to do. That would, we would be hypocrites to be doing that, right? So it has to have overwhelming support. The other side of it that's been very interesting is we've had a number of private conversations with the business community out here, and they are very supportive of this, okay? And what they've said is, look, you show us that you have the grassroots support, you start to get some donations from the grassroots level, we're going to come in and we're going to fund you, and we're going to fund you with a lot of money to get this to happen. So we have a lot of businesses that we've talked to that are very interested in seeing this work. So once we get the business community behind us as well and the funding, you know, it's a question of how do we do this and how do we make, you know, how do we get Maryland to just finally say, look, we need to let these people go because, you know, we do have irreconcilable differences. I don't know, you know, will it work or not? I don't know, but I sure hope so. I mean, I have no, you know, I have no, I wish I had a crystal ball and I could tell you, but I just don't know.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you for coming on today. I appreciate your input. It's very insightful. I mean, it's a proactive way of looking at something that should have an open discussion because most people don't even know that you can secede from the state,
right,
which is kind of sad.
Well, yeah, people don't know you can secede, and they also don't know that the states can amend the Constitution without the Congress.
Well, that's right. See, I do a radio show also on Saturdays out of Frederick, Maryland called The Forgotten Men. It's on from noon to 2 p.m., and we are all about viewing everything through the lens of the Constitution. And for 4 years, the two people that started this, I joined a couple years ago, we've been saying, you know, we need state-based solutions to these, not federal solutions. And in Article 5 Amendments Convention, we've been saying and calling for years, we've been big supporters of the National Debt Relief Amendment. We went up and attended there was a seminar held at Harvard with Professor Larry Lessig and one of the co-founders of the Tea Party Patriots, Mark Meckler, all about an Amendments 5 convention. There were about 500 people from across the country there, including people like Lawrence Tribe, if you know who he is, people from the Goldwater Institutes. We had retired Supreme Court justices from state Supreme Courts there. We had people that were on the communist socialist side of things there. I mean, we had a really interesting debate, and a lot of people agreed that, look, the only way to solve this problem is to let the states let the states call this convention and rein in the power of the federal government, because we know D.C. will never fix D.C. Doesn't matter who's in power. It always gets bigger and more powerful.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. Give us your Facebook page again so people can actually like you on Facebook.
Sure.
And then I'm going to go take my break. And I thank you for coming on with me.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's been a great enlightenment.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. The Facebook page, once again, is facebook.com/FreeWesternMaryland.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank Scott for coming on and talking to us about what's happening in other parts of the country. It's a conversation that you don't hear on mainstream radio. You really don't.
That's because we're special people.
We're special people?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to come back and ask Dr. Danielle about water bottles because everybody wants to know.
Water bottles and fluoride in your bottled water, and non-pasteurized milk.
Non-pasteurized milk. Ugh. Who drinks milk?
Nothing better than Don's pasteurized milk.
You have no idea. We'll be right back.
Talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking...
Brown.
Wow, that would be really interesting to see.
It's a process that we've never seen in, for sure, our time happen before. So, and you're right, Diva. I would be interested to see how they would get the good graces of Congress to be able to go ahead and do that. It would definitely be interesting.
My thing is, because I see, like, I mean, you can't argue. He gave a, even though I'm more for centralized government, but he gave a very poignant argument. I mean, how anybody could argue with his argument is beyond me. But because my thing is, like, how is the federal government going to basically, you have to appease the federal government. I mean, how they feel about EPA regulations, other federal regulations, establishing a National Guard that the federal government can use when they need be. Would they be willing to have a military base at some point or anything? Because I don't see them being able to do it without the federal government being able to have their hand in it some kind of way.
Yeah. The way I see it, and you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but the way I see it is, the way he's talking about doing this is following a constitutional process. And in my opinion, the Constitution has been sidestepped and ignored so much to get power and control that it will never be allowed to happen without some type of majority. And when I say majority, I'm talking 80-90%. Going up against the government and forcing the issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, for them to get Annapolis to really let them secede, because what happened during the Civil War was darn near a revolt within Virginia.
Yes.
It was darn near a revolt. Western Virginia basically almost violently seceded from Virginia. And the reason why they were accepted is because they agreed to join the side of the Union. Because at first they just wanted to secede and be neutral. They didn't want to have – they felt like Virginia wasn't representing them. They didn't want to have anything to do with the war. They were mainly abolitionists in that part of the area. But what Virginia made it very difficult. And in order for – and you know, Lincoln was like, all right, you join the Union, we'll let you secede. But this would be very, very interesting to see. I mean, because this would be like another history in the making.
Well, when you're talking about secession, too, a lot of people, and not you, obviously, you obviously understand where he was coming from and understand the history of it, but a lot of people are thinking secession and you become your own separate state and that's it. And that's really not exactly how it goes. I think it's an interesting conversation that I think needs to be followed on. Because honestly, I don't understand all the points either. So I would like to, you know, that'd be a good discussion for down the line.
The only thing that I can see is setting precedent. And that's what Washington is very, very, that's why you've not seen it since West Virginia, is setting precedence. Because like you said, Colorado, California, even the southern part of Florida. So instead of us going from 50 states, we're going to go to maybe 100 states. If each state splits off a portion of their state, it's going to grow the Union. But then again, when they split off, are they going to want to be like a Puerto Rico?
Like a territory, you're saying?
Yeah.
Right. Honestly, I don't know how that would work, and I don't really even know how that would benefit anyone. Exactly. You know, I don't understand what the benefits are if you're still, like, even Puerto Rico is still under some type of control of our government.
Hey, Puerto Rico got it good because Puerto Rico does not have to pay. I'm not sure, but I don't remember if they have to pay federal taxes. But they have all of our benefits other than they're not considered U.S. citizens. But
right.
We take care of them. We protect them. We provide them resources. The only thing is they don't have to declare themselves as U.S. citizens.
Right. It's more of a formality, in my opinion.
Well, it definitely would be interesting to see. As long as it's not violent, it would be very interesting to see. Because my favorite periods in history was the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, around those times.
and to see it actually happening right before my eyes.
It would be interesting to watch. It'd be a little scary, though. You know? I mean, even though I'm you know where I stand, Diva. But I'm not calling for these things to I really would hate to see things come to a pass like that. I would. Because it's scary. This is something that my children are going to have to go through. This is something my children are going to have to deal with. Even if we make these moves, there's still going to be repercussions for decades to come. A lot of things to null out and figure out and try to I'm sorry, go ahead, Trace.
It sounded like Jeff.
Who was that who just talked? I thought that was Tracy coming back on the air. But I just think it's going to be a scary situation anyway, so.
Yeah, it will definitely open up a lot of can of worms. But like you said, hey, the only thing they can do is try.
Hold on, Diva. I had a great opportunity yesterday to meet another caller. And I think some of you guys listening to us don't realize that we don't know the callers, even though I know their voices. And so I got a chance to meet Matt yesterday and had dinner with him, and it was such an honor to meet him. He's such a great guy. And I thought I'd just throw that at you. Because I was telling him that, you know, Sticks went down to South Carolina and actually met South Carolina.
Yeah, we had lunch.
But we don't know these people, and so when you get to see them, you know, it's like, wow, they're like old friends that you've never – it's like pen pals when we were kids.
Oh, wow.
What,
Matt,
Diva?
South Carolina got lunch, Matt got dinner, and all I got was some coupons to McDonald's.
Diva, when I came to see you, you were in the hospital. I'm not allowed to bring food in the hospital.
No, when I came up to the radio station.
Well, you didn't. No, they took me to dinner, Diva. You're missing the point.
Oh, okay.
You know, Matt took me to dinner and refused to let me pay.
Well, now we did something yesterday that the Congress doesn't know how to do, and we negotiated that a little bit, Tracy.
We did compromise a little bit. He let me pay the tip.
And when my wife and I met with South Carolina, we went Dutch.
You went Dutch?
Yeah.
Sucker. Shout out to Danielle in the studio with me. And I don't know what you guys are talking about on the break, but, you know, I got to get because somebody asked about water bottles. And before Dr. Danielle leaves, we only have about 25 more minutes. We got to talk about, because we were talking about water,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about, you know, nutrition, and it started with a conversation about pop in the first hour, and, you know, I just want to know before I go out and get me a soda stream, is it going to be good for me, but she just saw me sit here and eat a bag of potato chips, and she cringed as I ate them. I watched her face, and she's going, I can't believe she's eating them like this, and they were salt and vinegar, too. They were good.
And they were Shears potato chips.
Absolutely. And
we got to get them as a sponsor.
No problem. We can do that.
Their factory's right around the corner from my sister's. I'll have to stop in and see them.
Stop in and see them because we're going down there. I'm going to become a spokesman for anything that has to do with food. And so Dr. Danielle's looking at me, and she's cringing, and I'm on the break, and I've got the mics off, and I'm letting people just talk. Why am I letting you talk? Because I'm eating and crunching on potato chips, and then my mic is down.
And the first thing you ate when you got here was a deep-fried apple pie.
It wasn't deep-fried.
Well, they don't deep-fry them?
It's called fry pie. I don't know. Those are deep-fried. But they're hollow. There's apple in the middle, crust on both sides, good apple sauce in the middle, fresh-cut apples. I watched them make it. Then they put the little egg wash, and then they throw it in a deep fryer, and they wait until they float to the top with a nice brown, and then they put the little sugar glaze on top.
Hey, Doc, what did I just say? A deep-fried apple pie.
Deep-fried.
Well, you put it in the deep fryer, it's deep-fried. No. Just because it floats don't mean it's not deep-fried.
But it's so light, it floats.
The chicken floats too.
Fried chicken floats?
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Fried chicken floats.
Yeah, we got to watch the roasted chicken.
But I said my cholesterol was good.
well, you know, I said before there is an 80-20 rule.
Yeah, I'm on 80.
Yeah, I think you're
right.
Our split
there.
That being said, I had Chinese food last night. So.
You ate Chinese food?
I did. I had Chinese food.
Was cat.
Well, no, I had the steamed broccoli and chicken, and I had to explain 3 times to the girl on the phone that I didn't want the combo, but, yeah.
See, you can't mess up like that.
So you don't eat the General Tso's chicken?
I don't, no.
Oh. So it's fried?
I just don't like it. I normally will get the steamed broccoli and chicken if I get Chinese, and then my guilty pleasure is I will get the crab rangoon.
I love crab. Especially
I love
to make a good one.
Yes, I love
it. Not everybody does a great one, but the sweet and sour sauce?
I don't care for that too much.
Duck sauce?
Occasionally. The thing is, I don't eat that very often. Lately it's been a little worse because we've been on the go, but I eat a lot of vegetables. I do mostly vegetarian throughout the day, and then I have a little bit of meat with my dinner because that's me. That's just how I eat. If I have meat during the day, I need a nap. So that's how I eat. And that rule doesn't apply to everyone across the board.
Well, I've noticed since we've changed our diet that it's hard. It seems like you have to plan more now that we've changed this lifestyle in our house.
Right.
Paula got home from work one night, and I think it took us like 2.5 hours to make supper.
Why?
There's a lot of new foods that are being introduced. You know, we don't have the simple steak and, you know, meat and potatoes.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a lot more involved in that.
A lot of prep work.
In some cases, and I'll tell you what, early on when I first started down this path, I felt like I was in the kitchen all day long. And thankfully I was in a position where I wasn't working full time. I worked about 3 hours a day, so I had that time and I could put that into preparing meals and put that time into my family. But it does. When you're relearning what foods are and how to use the foods and how to prepare the foods and how not to overcook the foods, how not to oversalt the foods, how to just let the flavors come through and let your body enjoy the textures and the flavors and everything that comes along with those foods. It takes a lot of time and more prep work. And as you go along, it becomes easier and it's kind of secondhand. I spend about 30 minutes a night on dinner. But I also do prep work. I make menus ahead of time and I go shopping based on those menus. And if I need to, you know, soak beans when I'm making dinner the night before, I've got the beans. I put the beans to soak while I'm making dinner, and by the time I'm ready to go to bed, I can drain them and soak them again, and then they're ready for the crock pot the next morning. So it does. It takes a change in lifestyle and a change in the way that we view how we're supposed to interact with our food.
Now we're big on canning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll cook something and we'll can it because it seems like we eat it better if it's in a jar rather than going in a freezer. It seems like it's more convenient or whatever, for whatever reason. If I freeze something, it never gets eaten, but if I can it, it does. What does that do to the food?
Well, the canning was designed to get us through the lean times. It was never meant for it to be a staple. And when you can the food, there's a process that goes along with that, and some of the vitamins do get destroyed. The enzymes get destroyed. So those foods are great for short-term or in a pinch, but as something that's part of your regular daily diet that you're living on all the time, I don't recommend that.
Uh-huh.
Well, for example, my chili. What is going on chemically when we make the chili? Do we lose the because chili's a soup. So do you lose the vitamins or are they just water soluble and they're floating around in the water?
Some of both.
Okay.
The heat process in cooking does destroy some of the vitamins, particularly your vitamin C, your vitamin B, things like that. And it kills off many of the live enzymes in the plant products. Now, some of those vitamins then also are in the water that's in that soup brine, and you consume it there. But, again, those types of foods aren't meant to be the majority part of our diets. We're not meant to live on dead, overly processed foods. We're meant to live on live, vital foods. And we see such a big difference in the vitality and the health of someone when I put them, I get them to switch over to more of the raw, fresh fruits and vegetables. Not all raw, fresh fruits and vegetables, but more.
And we talked about this the other day. The root crops mainly are fresh all year round anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, apples, carrots,
beets,
turnips,
potatoes.
Yeah, those will keep.
Squashes will keep. I've got squash in my basement that are over a year old.
And they keep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The closer
you're making me feel real bad, Y'all talk about fresh fruits and vegetables, and I'm up here eating two ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, don't feel bad, Diva. I had a bologna sandwich for lunch, and I'm sure the doc would think that's absolutely suicide.
I mean, I had fried pies and potato chips. What do you want?
And I got a dozen cookies sitting here in front of me.
And she's sitting here cringing.
I got beer here for you guys to wash it down with.
Sorry, Is it a good beer? Is it a good beer?
I think it's a glass of wine.
What's a good beer?
You know, I like the dark beers. And again, 80-20 rule. 80-20 rule. I like a beer to have some bite and a little bit of flavor and not be,
water.
That's a nice way to put it. I have this rule. I refuse to consume anything that smells like horse urine. So that cuts out a lot of the light beer.
Okay, now,
go back to water bottle.
We've moved on to alcoholic beverages because I got a recipe in my last Backwoods Home magazine about making hard cider.
Mm-hmm. What's hard cider?
Is hard cider
good for you?
Well, not. I don't want to say good for you, but not bad for you.
It's good for you. You know, it comes from an apple.
Okay, that's kind of like the pregnant girl that told me she got her fruit for the day from a fruit roll up.
Oh, I like her.
No, 80-20 rule. You know, the alcohol in itself is a toxin to the body. That's why we get intoxicated. So there needs to be a balance.
Intoxicated, she would go there. So it's intoxicated toxin.
Right.
In means out.
Well, no, intoxicated means that you're in a state of toxicity. So, that's.
But it's apples.
With alcohol.
But you don't. But it makes its own alcohol.
Well, it does.
If you don't pasteurize it, I mean, that's one reason I think they probably have to pasteurize it to sell it is because isn't apple cider like grape juice? It'll ferment itself with no additions.
Yeah, it will. It will. And again, there's nothing wrong with that in moderation. You know, we have to remember that you can't be rigid. Life is not meant to be rigid. Life is fluid. It's always changing. It's always moving. It's always growing. And I think that's the one thing that people miss when it comes to their health is that we think we have to do everything perfectly. And that's why I harp on that 80-20 rule, you know, where you don't have to do everything 100% perfect, but you need to do most of it that are the best decisions you can make to feed and nourish your body.
Listen, you got to be careful because people are threatening to turn the channel and to hang up on me if you say chili is bad.
Chili is not bad. The food in itself is not good or bad. All right? There are foods that are more optimal for us and foods that are not as optimal for us. So if I want to go out and have a chocolate chip cookie or a big piece of chocolate lava pie, I'm gonna, but I'm probably gonna have a mixed green salad and maybe a little bit of chicken and some alfalfa sprouts as the biggest portion of what I eat.
We're growing alfalfa sprouts. I told her I'd go over to the neighbor's buy her a whole bale.
She told me that when she came in. I'm not eating that.
I mean, because we don't eat grass.
She loves her alfalfa sprouts.
The sprouts are great. They are full of protein. They are full of chlorophyll, which is a natural cleanser for the body. Their enzymes are kind of new. Like, how do I explain this? Kind of like the big thing about with the placenta and the
stem cells.
Yes, the stem cells. Thank you. The big thing with that. Now it's like that. You're getting the good, fresh, brand new cells, and they feed us. That you were designed to take the nutrients that are in these plants and in the animals that we eat that eat the plants and assimilate those into our body and use them as building blocks. So I don't believe in eliminating anything. I don't think that's possible. You know, we all have our comfort foods. You know, if I'm sick or I'm sad, and I need a comfort food, I'm going for mashed potatoes and gravy. I'm gonna. It's gonna happen. I like my chocolate pie. We have at my house, we have chocolate time, all right? Anything past 9:30, it's chocolate time. That's usually when the craving hits me. But as long as I am making sure that the rest of the time I am feeding my body what it needs in the right proportions and the right combinations, then my body can handle that. I can do that, and I'm okay.
Yeah, there's a popular weight loss thing on our commercial. They say eat a cupcake, not the whole cake.
Yeah, well, I would say have half the cupcake, share the cupcake. Cause
depends who's making the cupcake.
That's true. It does depend on the size of the cupcake.
Okay,
but
a muffin. You know, now a muffin is different because a muffin is a cupcake for breakfast.
Listen, I want to know about water bottles.
All right. There's lots of evidence out there that water bottles that are left to heat leach out toxins into the water from the plastics.
Left to heat outside of the
Yeah, like in the car or things like that.
Like
so
that case of water I keep in my van.
Right. So I don't recommend that. I recommend that you keep your water in a nice, cool place and just take what you need or transfer it into another receptacle, whether it be, you know, I have a little thermos that I carry with me. I actually have two of them because I just can't carry the same one every single day. But I carry that with me, and my water goes in that. And I have water bottles that I fill my cup with. And I also have, you know, we have several of the coolers from Howland Springs, one at the office and one at home, and I will fill my cup from that. And it just, again, it's a moderation thing. You need to be aware of how the environment affects your food, and water bottles, especially in the heat.
How about in the freezer? Because, you know, a lot of people put water bottles in the freezer.
I don't see any problem with that. It doesn't create any kind of gas emission from the plastic.
Okay. And, Matt, did she answer your question? Fluoride?
Fluoride. We do not need fluoride. We use
fluorine.
That's
what I was just going to bring up was fluoride, and I asked that a while before when we were talking about what would be good water to get, mm-hmm. and I had heard that it was an EPA standard, even though they may not list it on the nutrition facts, that fluoride is always a part of bottled water.
Not when you're getting natural spring water, and that's the key thing. You need to understand what you're reading. Natural spring water does not have anything added to it. Artesian water does not have anything added to it. If it just says spring water or purified water, it may. And that, again, that's one of those things where, yeah, the EPA has gotten in and said, well, we need this fluorine, so we're going to put this chemical called fluoride.
This class 2 carcinogen.
Right. It's really toxic waste. It's how do we get rid of this toxic waste without putting it, you know, in barrels and burying it for 600 feet. We do not use fluoride. Fluoride is a toxin to the body. It's like the difference between carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide.
Is it chlorine? Chlorine, also a class 2 carcinogen.
It depends. If we're talking about organic chlorine that is a natural part of the foods that we eat, no. If we're talking about the cell salts and the bleach, then yes. It comes down to chemistry, and when those elements are absorbed and metabolized by the plants and then by the animals that eat the plants, it's converted into a type of that particular element that our body knows how to use. We were designed to run on that.
Now they claim we put fluoride in our water to keep us from tooth decay. Have you seen any studies done for people like me? I've never drank city water on a regular basis. When I was in the service, I drank it. But other than that, I've lived on well water my whole life. I've had one cavity my entire life. Have you seen any studies on people that don't have fluoride their whole lives and tooth decay vice those who do?
Actually, there's a great study, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but you can find an overview of it in the book Health Wars by Philip Day. That talks about two separate counties. One had fluoride in their water, one elected not to. And the county that had the fluoride in the water actually had higher instances of dental decay. They also have higher instances of thyroid malfunction. And we see a significant amount of that. Not only is the fluoride in the water, but we're also putting it in our processed foods, It's in the water that we're giving to the cattle. It's in the water that we're spraying on our crops to try and supplement for rain. It's in a lot of that. And so it seems to be overabundance in there. And you have to be really careful with the types of foods that you're getting to not get too much of that. Now, granted, if your immune system is functioning properly, then we can handle a great deal of what comes at us. Where we get the disease is when the body's immune system becomes so overworked and so depressed because it's been overworked and it's just tired that it can no longer fight off the toxicity and the poisons that we're throwing at it.
Can I ask the elephant in the room question?
Yeah.
So, obviously, because this fluoride question has been out there for a long time, and I've seen studies as well that prove exactly what she just, what the good doctor here just mentioned. So my question would be, why is it still being introduced to the general public?
I think because there is not enough education of the mass public. Some people will simply just turn a blind eye and call it conspiracy theory. Other people just genuinely don't understand. There's not enough information out there that's being disseminated to these people appropriately. You know, you have to kind of meet people where they're at and explain things to them. And there are some people who are just going to say, yeah, you're full of it. But there are other people who will wake up and say, okay, yes, I get it. And then we need to take action. We need to get together and we need to say, you know what, we don't want this. The study with the two counties, that was actually fairly random. The counties themselves had elected whether or not they were going to have the fluoride. The people decided whether or not that was going to be in their water supply. And I think that's an important thing for us to do as free citizens is to really utilize that right to say this is what we want, and we have to take those steps to get that implemented.
Well, there's an awful lot of dumbing down of America, and we bring that up a lot on this show. We're being conditioned to say, well, the experts say, and who am I to question the experts?
Right, and that's, I'll tell you what, that I got in more trouble for that in school than you could ever imagine because I always questioned. So when I hear, hey, there's a study, my first question is, awesome, where do I find this study and who funded it?
That follow the money.
Right, and I get the crazy look. You know, oh, push the crazy button, crazy lady in the room. But you need to know, you need to be educated. And it's not that we're dumb, really. Americans are really smart. We're just lazy.
Well,
we don't want to take the time to follow the trail and confirm what we've heard.
Yeah, but how many generations of being told you're too stupid to educate your own child before you finally start to believe you're too stupid to educate your own child? Look at the way homeschoolers are looked at.
Mm-hmm. Homeschoolers, home birthers, I mean, any of this where you are taking control of your life, you know, I agree that, you know, if you're told long enough that you're a moron and you can't do anything right, no matter how much you try to prove that wrong the rest of your life, it's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy because in the back of your head, you've been conditioned to believe that. And so we have to learn to break out of that. And you know, it takes therapy, if you will, to break out of that.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I can understand what she just said, because when we are growing, we develop habits, and our habits are thinking. And it might be stinking thinking, they call it. But it's very hard. Some people can do it slowly, quickly, change their thinking or adapt to something else, but some people can't. But I called about fluoride. At one time, I heard that Hitler gave it to as an experiment to sterilize men.
Well,
did you ever hear that?
I did, yes. And the sterilization with fluoride is not—it's not just for men. We're seeing a lot of issues with the thyroid directly related to the fluoride in the water, and the thyroid gland controls your reproductive organs. Women are more affected by thyroid problems due to fluoride than men. So we have more, a caller earlier talked about women in their 20s having issues with reproduction, with menestration, and there's a direct correlation there to what's going on with our food, and particularly the chemicals in our food, and how our thyroid and pituitary are acting in regards to reproduction.
And also I have heard that they can't get everything out of water. Maybe that's why we're all nuts. Like the people who put old medicines down into the water or flush them down the toilet. No. And,
There's some validity to that. I don't know how much. I know that when you put a chemical into water, for example, when you make coffee, you're changing the chemical compound. the chemical structure of the water, and they bond. And so to get that out, you have to break that chemical bond. I don't know enough about the water purification process to say that they can or no they can't.
But let me ask you this.
But like here at me, the city of Youngstown uses meander, which is water from rain, and once you turn the water to vapor and it drops back as rain, that should break the chemical bond.
But now, I have a friend where they live, they actually have their pond as their water. Mm-hmm. So the water comes in from the pond, it's filtered as it comes through, and then it goes to a filtration process. And it's their water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good water.
I just thought of something else you just said, Tracy.
Yeah?
I was listening to this, someone was flipping through the dials, and they mentioned that people years ago used to, when they were grown up, swim in the East River. Well, there have been people recently, a young person, I think, that died from that flesh-eating that went up their nose, went to their brain.
Huh?
Flesh-eating bacteria.
That's a bacteria, and bacteria grows in environments that are, if the environment is not habitable for that bacteria, it won't grow. That's why whenever there's an infection in the body, we create a fever. So there has to be an optimal environment for that, and the specifics on that particular bacteria, I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to look that up, but we need to recognize that bacteria can't thrive in the body either if there's not an ideal condition for it.
Yeah, eat garlic. eat garlic and onions every day.
Thank you.
That's interesting. I want to thank you, Dr. Danielle. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And hanging out with us. We really, really appreciate it. I think we learned a lot. I mean, we take things for granted. You think that people really pay attention, and we talk about water. We talk about water bottles. Talking about food and eating and digestion, even though you did cringe when I ate my potato chips, but they were really good. They were salt and vinegar. And the combination is really – and I don't like the chicken and waffles. That's just a bit too far.
They make chicken and waffles, potato chips.
Lay's has lost their mind. Lay's has just gone over the top.
I never did like those.
What?
Lay's potato chips.
Because you don't know what's good for you.
No, Shears. That's – I mean, before that it was Klein's.
Oh. Yeah, he's got a point. Shears
remember
is great.
Klein's? Are you old enough and familiar long enough to remember
no.
Klein's?
No.
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, man, they were like Shears.
If anybody wants to know, I need a computer guy. My computer guy left me. I'm going to work. You know, this is bad. And my machine's not doing what it's supposed to do. Sorry. I'm sitting over here and I'm getting... I'm usually over here doing things that I want to do, and it's not doing what I wanted to do.
I haven't seen Bubbles at all today.
Who's Bubbles?
You usually play Bubbles over there.
I can't play Bubbles right now. I'm trying to get the machine to work, and the machine won't work. Doctor, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You'll be back every second Wednesday, right before Health and Wellness. Dr. Danielle comes in, and she does the naturopath things, and she's going to get me to eating twigs and squigs. And
I'm going to put that on my calendar right now.
So the six will get it right.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much.
We appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be open mic. Got something to talk about. Got some things to throw at you. Going to throw some water into the mud. We'll probably have a big fight before it's over with because Sticks is not going to act right, and we'll see him back on the other side of my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm going to turn the mics off in the chat room so you guys can talk. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and we will see you in a moment.
Is anybody even in here?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Diva. How are you?
I'm good. They got
anything
me
on
not,
your...
They really got me not drinking water now.
I'll tell you what, my oldest daughter has been doing research into this fluoride thing, and it's not just water. Fluoride's all over the place, and she's got me itching. You know, I mean, literally, you start itching after you start seeing what some of these effects are from fluoride and what products they're in. And I tell everybody I meet now, I go, you know what, go just Google fluoride and see what it's involved with and see what it does. It's a scary thing.
Fluoride that really did it for me, it was my first drive across the Meander Reservoir, and I was told that's where Youngstown's water supply comes from, the valley's water supply comes from, and I was just like, and I was disgusted. I was like, ew.
Really? I've been across Meander quite a few times. It didn't look all that bad.
It didn't look bad. It's just out in the open. See, my mind goes there. Somebody, you know, going over, stopping and peeing in the water. I know it's getting treated afterwards, but I'm like, they can't catch everything.
Okay, well, I see where you're, I mean, that's where everybody's water comes from. So, you know, not Meander, but that's where water. But I can see what you mean visually once you're like, oh, yeah, I get that.
If I do drink water, it will be it is natural spring water. Like, when she said you got to be careful between, because when I found out, because they made it seem like all bottled water was good for you. So I started drinking bottled water. But then I'm like, wait a minute, filtered water, this is no different than the water I would get out of my tap. They just probably take it to an extra process.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started learning the difference between filtered water and natural spring water. So if I drink water, that.
I know that they say that, I think it's Vermont. Vermont has a lot of natural springs, and I'm pretty sure it's Vermont. You might want to research this too, but it's considered the cleanest, most pure water that you can get. And there is a company that bottles it, and there's no treatment to it whatsoever. They literally bottle the spring water and ship it out. Do they what?
Do they treat the bottle? Because if they treat the bottle, then whatever's on that bottle gets into that water. Not like how in other bottled water does, but whatever is on that bottle, whatever they treat that bottle gets into that water somewhat.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I've never had it. I've never seen it. I'm just, this is something that I heard. I saw it I saw it on TV. But I'm not really sure what kind of bottle it comes in. I'm not sure how it might even come in gallon jugs, which you could say the same thing about milk and such too, I would think. But they say that water, it's not even treated. It doesn't go through a process. It's a natural process from going through rocks to pebbles to sand to this to that. And it's literally clear, pure, no, you know, and they say it's the cleanest water that you can get, at least in the 50 states here. So that's a good question, though. I will have to see what they bottle it in.
This what they put in our food, what they put in our water. Do you wonder why we have so many? Like, I'm not saying that they do it on purpose. I think that people have great intentions in trying to keep us much more healthy than what we've been through. You know, life expectancy now is a lot longer, but all the problems that come with it. I mean, the human body takes so much.
A lot of times it starts off with good intentions. That's like when you remember when you used to go shopping back in the day and all they had was paper bags, and they said, well, that's killing the trees. We need to save the trees, so we're going to switch to plastic bags. And then you see what plastic bags did to the environment. So now they switch back to paper, but they're introducing something else. So there's always a process. People start, like what we're talking about, when people start saying, you know what, this is going to be good for you or that's going to be good for you, they really need to think the process through all the way instead of jumping the gun. And we seem to jump the gun quite a bit when it comes to health issues, when it comes to your fruits and the pesticides on that, or your meats and what we're feeding the cattle. People need to stop jumping the gun.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you. Let me give you a story. Okay, last November, I ended up in the hospital with rhabdomyolysis. Rhabdomyolysis is when your muscle enzyme starts breaking down in your body and they leak into your blood. And the only way the enzymes leak in your body is through your kidneys. They filter through your kidneys. So what happens is once that starts happening, your kidneys start to shut down.
once your kidneys start to shut down, all your other organisms start, your organs start to shut down. Your CK level should only be about 40, not 40,000, but 40. My CK levels was 120,000.
Whoa.
And by the time I got to the hospital, I was already in kidney failure. But the thing is, they tried everything under the sun to try to figure out. I mean, it was like a case of House, the TV show, trying to figure out exactly what happened and trying to figure out how they were going to treat me and all this. Because at first they were like, well, you know, you're going to have to go into ICU. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. And all it took was just some saline water, saline and prayer to get my body back on track.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, what you're just saying, that I know about kidney issues because I got one too. I only have 20% use of one kidney. So I went through the same process, and that's what it was, almost the same thing, but I didn't have what you had. I've never heard of that before. That's crazy.
yeah. I never heard of it before either. I was like, what?
Right.
They're still scratching your head, because you get it by either over-exercising, being in what's considered a crash accident, or drug use. And neither one of those were my cases. All I caught was what seemed like a cold going into some type of virus, and that ended up happening. But that's just like bladder infections. You get a bladder infection, come on, drink more water, drink some cranberry juice. There's no need to really... Now, everybody's body can't handle natural, because, like she said, your body has to be conducive for certain things. It has to have the right environment. So if your immune system is compromised, then, yeah, you're going to probably need extra measures. But somebody who's young and healthy, you know, your back is hurting, you can tell by your output that you're a little dehydrated, you're having issues. Water, more water, and cranberry juice or cranberries.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it right out.
That's absolutely true. When you have that.
Dr. Diva is in the house.
Ooh.
Is that what I'm getting?
She's talking about an UTI. That's what cranberries are for.
It sounds like Dr. Diva's in the house.
Yeah, cranberries make your digestive tract acidic, which kills bacteria. Absolutely. That's an old grandma remedy.
Yeah, Diva was just explaining what she went through with some of her issues and what the doctors went through to try to figure it out, and it turned out to be the solution turned out to be extraordinarily simple, but going through the process was a pain.
Okay, so Dr. Diva,
they freak out. Doctors tend to freak out and they try to treat everyone the same. Well, in my case, like when I was in the hospital last year with the rhabdomyolysis, you know, they freaked out because your CK level should only be 40 for a non-exercising adult who's not been involved in a crash accident or who had no drug use. My CK levels were 120,000. So they freaked out, and they were trying to figure out all these measures to correct the situation, and it turned out just basically saline and prayer reverse the kidney failure. That's what we're talking about.
If anybody sees Ambassador Technologies, put in a 911 call for me.
Big G, if you're listening, call in quick.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How you doing, Diva?
Good. Today is a good day. You know, I have my ups and downs, my good days, my bad days. Today's a good day.
Okay. And I see Matt's doing good. Alabama left the room. You guys chased him out. South Carolina left the room. You guys wouldn't even let him say anything coming in. I think that might have been Mike. And
I think Brown ran for the hills, too.
No, Brown, I muted because he was just going to go off.
Brown's been good these past couple of days.
No. Brown go crazy sometimes. I love him, though.
Yeah, South called me yesterday after the show was over.
What did he say?
Oh, he was just got back from the doctor, and he was telling me how screwed up his new health care is and how it was going to cost him tens of thousands of dollars more a year than it was costing before.
And his point was, didn't you hear them? Scott just came on before he even talked about seceding from the state. He had to talk about his health care. What's the problem? I don't understand.
What happened? You if guys, you like your insurance, you'll get to keep it, and if you like your doctor, you'll get to keep him.
Too bad.
I'm not one for conspiracies, but I've known that working in certain areas that companies do stuff to people to push. Because my thing with these insurance companies, they didn't have to do this, and I'm thinking, well, what benefit are they getting from this by raising the premiums of people who are outside the exchanges, because the exchanges tend to be cheaper than...
Diva, these people are in the exchanges that are telling me what these things are costing. That's the thing. They're being forced to go to these exchanges.
No, Carolina's not in the exchange.
No, Diva, that was happening. The insurance companies are they are putting requirements and stuff on the average parking people who already had insurance. And
right.
People who were paying for their own insurance, and people who were already insured, and they're letting them know that you're now going to be paying for stuff that you don't need,
right?
And you will pay more for what you don't need because we need to make more money off of you.
For example, this Scott that called in, he's now required by law to pay for pregnancy care.
He's not pregnant.
He ain't pregnant. His wife's on a separate policy, and he's had a vasectomy. Why should he have to pay for that?
What I'm saying is, it seems like they're trying to push. To me, this is just my opinion. They're trying to push people into the exchanges to one and maybe one of their subsidiaries because the if I'm not mistaken, the insurance companies in the exchanges, they're not doing this. They're getting something from the government for this.
No. The subsidy, Diva, the subsidy is a tax credit. That's a once-a-year check. So you have to make.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the person.
The person that's buying their own insurance has to make these payments all year, and then at the end of the year, they get a check back from the government.
I'm not talking about individual. I'm talking about the actual insurance companies because insurance companies tend to set up subsidiaries competition.
No,
they want to move you into their subsidiary thinking you got real competition and real choice.
No, Diva. No. The way the system's set up is if you go into the exchanges – and you meet a certain income requirement, at the end of the year you'll get a check, but if your premium through the exchange is $400 a month, you're going to pay $400 a month for 12 months before you get your subsidy check back from the government.
Hold on, Diva. 782, your mic is on. Local call, hold on.
Okay.
782, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Nope.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Tracy. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Is it open line or open mic? You're talking about several things.
It is open mic, but hold on just one moment, okay?
Sure.
Local call, your mic is on.
Yes, I thought I'd call back. I heard Rand Paul. I wondered if you guys did, too. He said that Kentucky only offers two kinds of insurance, and if he took a heart attack in Washington, it wouldn't cover it. Because, you know, he's in Washington a lot, too.
The state of West Virginia only has one carrier now. There's only one health insurance company operating in West Virginia now. Everybody else pulled out.
Okay. Hold on. 782, your mic is on. You had a new topic to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about and especially throw this out to all your listeners because I know you have folks calling from different parts of the country. I have a big problem, Tracy, with this. All of a sudden, these churches and these church groups are hosting political forums and candidate debates. I just think that is so against, you know, what freedom of speech is about, is to hold a forum at a church. And many of these churches, and specifically the black churches, they already have some preconceived notion as to what their political views are, what they are there to hear. So it's not an objective environment. And I'm just curious if that's what's being played all over the country now, is that political forums are held in churches, which I think is totally
doesn't make a difference where it's
totally
held.
Wrong.
I mean, I was at the last ones here. And no Republicans gonna get up in there because no Republicans running. because they won't come out and vote for it. I'm just saying, but and some candidates came and some candidates didn't. Having it at a church location doesn't stop the people coming in and asking questions. The question is, will people show up at all of them? I think we ought to have political forums anywhere we can possibly have them, and I think the candidates should show up, and I think they ought to participate in the process, whether it be at a church or whether it be at a union hall or whether it be at a major platform. I think they should be televised on public access television, and that's just my way of looking at it.
Well, I just personally think it's totally wrong that they should have them at a church, period.
Why?
The freedom of speech.
I don't like them at church.
I should be able to say hell and damn.
Not on my radio, you can't. So
not in my church building either. But that's just a decorum thing.
That's free.
Because if I sponsor a forum and I do it in an outdoor arena, I still don't want you to say those two words while you're doing it.
Yeah, I don't want it in my house.
You can't say, is hell and damn an illegal word to say?
There you go.
On the radio,
it is. It's not illegal, but it's illegal on my show, and Jeff says it all the time, but it's still illegal.
I fail to see why everybody gets up in arms about people of faith banding together to support a candidate that happens to agree with their line of thinking. What's wrong with that?
I just find it funny.
One at a time. What'd you say?
Hillary says it takes a village.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And don't we have voting at churches?
They used to. They don't anymore. Not too many churches have it there. But, I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, they rent those places out. Churches are nothing but buildings.
Right.
No, they're institutions. They're far more than buildings.
Okay.
Tracy, can I chime in on that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I have no problem with people of any faith assembling and affecting the political process, but my problem is, I agree with the caller. Politicians should not be having forums in churches. The reason I don't think so is because taxes are tax-exempt entities, and so politicians should not be holding forums in tax-exempt entities. And that's really the only reason why I object to it.
Let me just answer what he said. We didn't say that politicians were running these talks or these discussions in churches. We didn't say that. We were saying just a conversation was being held in churches.
Well, let me say something more basic than that. The reason we have freedom of speech as an individual is because it's tied to political freedom of speech. And the
what
way our
about?
System is set up is that we must all have the opportunity to speak openly and freely politically. And we should not be in a church that restricts freedom of speech on any level.
But you can't cuss in my hall.
Excuse me.
If you come to my hall and it's not a church, if I decide to go down to the Dior Center downtown and rent the place out and hold a political forum, the rules of the forum will be that you will not be able to curse at all. No
you
hell, no damn,
do
no nothing.
That in a political
yes, I
environment.
Can. Yes,
that's
I can.
That's against the law. That's against the First Amendment. That's the First Amendment restriction of freedom of speech.
Listen, you cannot go into a crowded building and yell fire.
And we have plenty of laws against vulgar speech.
That's different than freedom of speech. That's not freedom of speech.
There's laws against vulgar speech. There's plenty of laws against vulgar speech.
Hell and damn is not vulgar.
But it is
in my house. It is. As a matter of fact, when my children were growing up, shut up was a curse word in my house.
You're not hosting a political event.
But I am the host of it, and the host makes the rules. If you don't want to go by the rules, then you can't come.
No, you don't. In a political environment, you don't. Constitution makes the rules.
The Constitution does not make the rules because hold an environment. If I host it, pay for it, I control the rules of it.
No, you cannot.
Remember Reagan said, I paid for this microphone?
And I'm going to say what I want
on
it.
That's right.
That was at a fundraising event. That's not at a political event.
Hold on. No, he was in a debate.
Listen, there are debates. on television that is supposed to be controlled by the people, which is not. And there are certain things you can and cannot say when you go on to a television debate because the rules have been enacted. It might be wrong in your book, but it is what I'm saying.
Tracy, the only thing that you cannot say in those debates holds true on your radio show, which is governed by FCC.
Sir.
In an environment that's not governed by FCC, the freedom of speech is completely allowed.
Okay,
you can't restrict freedom of speech because you host it, because you put your...
Let me say this, sir. It is not. I am not violating your freedom of speech in any way, shape, or form. If you come into my house, say something I don't like, and I kick you out of my house. I am not violating your freedom of speech. Now, if I were to press charges, even on my radio show, if I were to press charges against you and have you arrested and incarcerated, then I am violating your freedom of speech. There's a difference.
Freedom of speech, you violate my freedom of speech when you restrict what comes out of my mouth.
No, I don't.
Your freedom does not give you the right to violate someone else's freedom or personal liberty. So when you're saying things that are uncomfortable to another person, you're violating their personal liberty. So you have to think that as well. You can't just say what you want to say and think that
comfort
it's not going to affect one and then hide behind the Constitution behind it.
Comfort is a subjective a thing. What's discomforting for you may not be discomforting for me or someone else.
If it's directed at me,
it's
not objective at all.
But I control my own environment.
Am I being too basic?
No, you're not being
sense.
How many times has Mark Levin screamed, "Get off the phone, you big dope," and hung up on somebody?
Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. It's Dee.
Hey, Dee.
Hi. Hey, you have freedom of speech, but you don't have freedom to be vulgar or obscene. And you figure you can have a meeting anywhere you feel comfortable. If you want to be able to have coarse language, then call a get together in a bar or a tavern and ask somebody, would you be willing to come down here and discuss the issues? But if you go to a church, common decency would tell you that you would behave in a certain manner. If you went to a funeral home, common decency would tell you to behave in a certain manner. There are places where you just don't let it all hang out. And if you haven't learned that,
Not a governance for freedom of speech.
That you're going to be vulgar and crude and disrespect the people that are there. If you have women and children,
do you know why we? Do you know why we have freedom? Do you know why we have freedom of speech?
Questionable because he honored the men. He honored the women and the children. He spoke a different way with his male friends than he did when women and children were present. We've lost a lot of that in this country, and it truly is a shame.
That's true. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, now you see why.
Well, here's the thing. I don't understand the gentleman. Churches have the right to take part in the political process. They don't have the right to demagogue the process, but if they want to sponsor a candidate's night and the candidates are willing to come, then the people want to come there, then they abide by the rules under that church. When it's downtown at the community.
All right, cheap phone. Bad headset.
Why does he sound like he's out of breath? Was he just taking a jog to the park?
Freedom of speech is to protect angry speech. It isn't to protect nice speech. That's why we have freedom of speech.
But you can dissent. But, sir, you can dissent without using foul language. In fact, it takes much more intelligence to dissent without using foul language.
Do you understand the basics of what I'm saying to you?
Is that Brown?
Hey, you know, guys, I just want to say it one more time, you know, is that when it comes to churches, I think it's wrong for politicians to necessarily go to, well, I shouldn't say it's wrong for them to go to the church, but the fact that the church pays no taxes, but then you're telling me that elected officials are going to these places to be affected by people, by an organization or assembly of people who aren't paying taxes into the system is absurd to me.
But and that's not true,
so
Alan.
That, I mean, it's
that's not true.
But the people
most
themselves
most
are
churches
paying taxes,
do not pay taxes.
Alex.
But the,
the churches don't pay taxes, but the people there that are there are paying taxes.
Absolutely.
But
the members
but
of the church
only
are
reason
paying
the people
taxes.
Are assembled there is through that organization which does not pay taxes.
Tracy?
Yeah?
It could just be that they're asking for permission to hold a gathering there. And you think if you held a gathering someplace else, you have to come up with funds to pay, like maybe for security or pay for somebody to open and close the doors. If you have a school, maybe there's like union issues about overtime for, you know, a custodian or, you know, I mean, there's lots of things that prohibit you from meeting in certain places.
I'll tell you
if
this.
If a church is willing to have this so that people can gather and have good discussion, I don't see the problem in it.
This is the problem. This is the problem in a nutshell. We have buildings and schools that we should be using for political forums that you can't use them without you putting million-dollar riders on them and paying union employees to stay overnight.
Well, that's the point I'm making. And I think that's why they, you know, we aren't. But as you say, those are public buildings owned by us, the taxpayers.
But they won't let you use them. They won't.
I know, but it would be ideal.
It would be ideal.
But I think wherever you can gather to have a lively discussion, go for it. And if you don't feel comfortable, like I said, if you don't feel comfortable going to a church, you want to have a freedom, then ask if the politicians would be willing to come to the tavern and meet with people. I mean, go where you feel comfortable.
Tracy, what do you think about the church that had this political forum on Monday? That's the same church group led by their pastor that was 2 weeks ago bringing up the claim of racism and calling people, you know, slave masters. And they've already, the same church had already committed themselves to a particular political candidate. How could they, don't you see anything wrong
with
them?
Hold on. Now, listen.
How could they be objective?
Hold on. Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me really slow this down. I understand where you're coming from. But the issue with this is they do this they've done this twice a year. I had the first political forum 20 years ago at the McGuffey Center because it's a way to get people educated. We know, I'm not going to say that would not have been fair if all the candidates had not shown up, but there are only two that showed up, and they were not partial to the one who they said that they supported. They weren't. I mean, there were people in the room that may have been supporting him, but the question that came across the desk was not always in favor of the candidate that we're talking about. So the impartiality that you thought would have been there, and the soft-hitting questions that were there, I think all the candidates should have shown up because if they had shown up, they may have shed a brighter light on what was going on. Are you following
me?
You
know, I've been to that forum before.
Yep. No. I'm talking about that night. Don't get me wrong, because the whole room was different. I've never seen that many people in that room for that political forum. And when I heard the questions come across from the table, it was not because they were trying to support one candidate or another. They hit some hard hitting questions, and they were not playing when they did it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it was very spirited.
That forum, I've heard the panelists ask local politicians something as inane as, "Do you support Mr. Obama, President Obama?" What does that have to do with local politics, local governance?
Okay, well,
you know what, sir?
They promote this stuff in schools to our school children, too. Do you have a problem with that or no?
Promote what in school?
They promote the politics of the left, and that's all they push in our public school system that we pay taxes for. Do you have a problem with that or not?
Politics of the left? Yes, I do.
You have a problem with that? Well, at least you're on even footing.
I have a problem with pushing liberal politics on kids. That's why my kids are homeschooled today.
And I understand your frustration, you know as well as I do. You've seen them throw me at the same political forum. You've seen them throw me under the bus because they didn't want me to gain any steam. Am I correct?
Yeah, because you're a Republican, period.
Correct. Let me say this. That night was really a weird night. How's that?
I think they were waiting. The only reason those people showed up is because there was an issue of sex and infidelity. That was the reason they showed up. They were looking for, you know, did you do it? Do you have something else to tell us? That's what they were looking for.
It was a weird night. I've never seen that many. I'm serious. It was a weird night. You should have been there. But I did see your sticker on my car.
Passing out literature.
I know. I saw. I know who this is. Hey, hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know how it goes. So, you know, there's no fairness about this at all. At least I hope you don't think so. Because it's not fair, because you have a group of people that have demagogued and merchandised people for so long, but the people are used to being merchandised. They love it. They love to be sold off for nothing but a vote and getting nothing in return and pretending like they have political power because of it. Well, that's a bunch of BS. Here is, once again, that you better well come out and say exactly what it was because, you know, you had the for the first time in ever that I've seen black people in the Democrat Party stand up for themselves. I was happy that they stood up for themselves, not necessarily
they didn't stand up. They didn't stand up. They stood partway up and then they sat back down.
Well, they did that, but you heard what I said. They stood up at least.
They didn't stand up. You know how you get up and sit like that? It's like going to Catholic church.
Silly.
No. Because you know they sat back down real quick and we got back in line. Have you heard an apology yet?
No, you ain't heard no apology.
Okay, just checking. And are they still laughing and joking about the Kunta Kinte in private parties?
Yeah.
Somebody told me they
did it at a fundraiser the other day.
That's what I'm saying. So we all heard the same story. So did they stand up and sit back? Did they stand up or did they just reposition their seat and sit back down in the same seat they were sitting in?
It didn't matter. As a forum, they let their disdain be known for what they weren't going to just accept, even though many of them are defectors. And, you know, I'm not necessarily defectors, but many of them did not get on board with them when they had a difference between who they were going to vote for. Now, you have a flawed candidate, two flawed candidates now, but you had one that could have gone to jail and one that at that time was somewhat clean until now. But that's what they were protesting about. And it was good that they did it, but they won't continue or sustain this movement and let people know you're not going to take me for granted anymore.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying. Again, that's a whole other story, a whole other topic. I'm going to quit because I'm going to be good. Hey, caller, thanks for calling in. You haven't called in a long time, but I know who it is, and so God bless you. Stay out of trouble, please.
You know, I still love you guys.
I know, but stay out of trouble. You won't act right, but stay out of trouble. Take your meds. What? Fix your. What you laughing at?
Take your meds.
Yeah, take your meds every day.
Every day.
Dr. Danielle's against meds. Some people got to take them every day. Every day. Ain't that right, Jeff?
Yep.
Never do the whole thing.
He's one of them. He takes his meds every day.
Jeff
taking his meds every day.
I know people that self-med every day.
Who's ordering chili dogs?
Whoever's ordering chili dogs, bring some up here. That's one thing we haven't had today.
Who's ordering chili dogs?
It wasn't me. I had a salad because I was trying to eat right.
Hey, just drink the water. Yes, Jeff.
I wanted to laugh, though, because Diva made a statement that almost made me wreck my car. She said, they're treating everybody the same.
Hey, South Carolina.
What do you think is going to happen here now?
Would you mind going public with what you told me yesterday afternoon when you called me?
Yeah.
You put him on the spot.
No, if he don't want to, I don't blame him.
There's no problem. Well, yesterday, you know, I had to go over to another town, and I decided I was going to stop by my doctor's office and see exactly how much my doctor's visits was going to be. And when I got in there, I talked to the insurance lady, and she told me that my doctor's appointment itself was going to be $144. And depending on the test that they run, if it's just a regular old any blood work or anything like that, it could run anywhere from $300 to $600 a visit. Okay? So, and that's until I meet that deductible, you know? So for folks that are saying that their insurance is going to go down, well, I did the calculations, and what's happened is essentially my insurance went up $2,000. And I got to add in my office visits and my medication and everything else. So, I mean, it's really crazy. My premium went up and my deductible went up.
Well, guess what?
I mean, you're talking
about
and this is supposed to be cheap?
South Carolina. And just think.
Yes.
Your co-pays went up so you can meet your deductible sooner. So don't worry about it. Oh,
there's no co-pay.
Well, your office visits, but your office visits went up. So they got this. Don't worry about it.
They got something.
And not only that your doctor's not allowed to write off your deductible like they used to. They stopped that too. Because one time you could negotiate your deductible with your doctor.
Yep.
Can't do it anymore.
Sometimes they need
it's
against the law.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Tracy. You've got the cheapest insurance in South Carolina is going to cost an individual $105 per month. Okay, that's a single individual that's wanting to buy insurance. But
okay.
The daggone deductible is $5,000.
What's wrong with that? You got that?
What's wrong with it?
young brother told me yesterday. At least now I'm going to pay a little bit more. So somebody else can get taken care of. What's the problem?
Why don't he do it himself?
Why don't he just send a donation to Cleveland Clinic?
Exactly.
Just send a check to Cleveland Clinic if you want to donate to somebody.
They didn't like it that way. That's what it was. So I don't know what your big problem is.
I mean, you and South Carolina
are having this problem. I'm with Diva now.
Tracy,
what?
They have effectively taken $300 a month out of my budget.
So what?
That's $300 the Applebee's ain't going to get. That's what.
You know what? Here's the thing. What they have effectively done was created the underclass vote for Democrat system. That's what they've done. Because all of those people that are on the bomb that can't afford to pay anything are not going to pay anything. And they're going to be happy as clams. They're going to be happy as all get out. But the transfer of wealth is coming straight out of the middle class. And by the time that they're done with it, you're not going to have a dime. They're not going to have a dime. And only the elitists will be there to rule us so we don't kill each other as we get angry over what just happened.
There's a story I just read the other day about a guy making $11,500 a year. He's going to pay $180 a month for insurance.
Oh, that's not true.
He's okay.
Going to
pay nothing.
He's going to pay a thing. He don't meet the poverty guidelines. He's straight.
Yeah, he ain't going to make nothing. He ain't going to pay nothing. And so just like in this last election, you watch the demographics, primarily poor people's, lower middle class and lower class people put the president in office. I didn't say all. I didn't say every one of them. But I'm just saying, primarily. That's what it did. Even the Hispanics, they caught the vision as well. Why do you think you had Nancy Pelosi up there marching on the mall with the illegal aliens? See, that's when you should have a military.
Well, we didn't get her.
They can cart people off.
Somebody
need
to slap her in a jalapeno.
Well, yeah. Why is it the World War II vets can't get on the memorial, but yet we can have a bunch of illegal immigrants having a rally on the mall?
So that's what's important.
Easy. That's what's important to them. And see, and now, but it's the Republicans' fault.
Well, that's
the thing. They challenged. See, I can't say that idiotic banter really just is too much. But, people think that way, and God bless them. I hope they're right for all of our sake. I hope they're right, but I know better.
What this whole group in power, I mean, it's Animal Farm. Everybody's equal, just some are more equal than others.
Yep.
And you just better get over it and figure that out.
Right.
If you're not in a labor union or you're not a government worker, and that's what really burns me up is the government workers. Government workers are no different than anybody else. If you get laid off, you don't need no back pay.
Sticks. They didn't. Sticks. Listen.
What?
You guys are getting all frustrated.
Yeah, I'm getting burned out because we're creating a Mandarin society.
It's always been.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
No, it hasn't.
There was a time when the reason that the government workers got the benefits that they did was because on average in the 40s and 50s they made less money than people in the private sector.
But we changed
that. So to attract them, they gave them all these good benefits.
But we changed that.
So then we started paying them twice as much as everybody else and giving them twice as many benefits.
What's your problem?
My problem is I'm paying their salaries.
So what?
Until I get tired of paying their salaries and decide to go fishing.
Don't go fishing. They'll go to jail. Go fishing.
No, we just go fishing.
No.
We just sell everything,
put the money under a rock, and go fishing.
Six.
It's not going to work that way.
Yeah, it can.
No, it can't.
Yes, it can. We can all go gold.
Listen, the government is shut down, but yet I think something like 90% of the...
13% of the government's closed.
Right. So I don't know what your definition of shut and down is. I'm still confused how 13% can be closed and you call it shut down.
Well, this is a design...
What, Jeff?
I said go to my Facebook page. You'll see all the definitions of these idiots on there talking about the shutdown.
This system...
They're going to open my country.
what's being done is designed by the administration to inflict as much pain on the people as possible.
What pain? On what people? Ain't nobody in pain.
Well, no. Yes, there is. Ooh. There's a town in Arizona that their primary source of income for the entire town is the Grand Canyon. In 6 days, they gathered $400,000 and said, we'll pay all the park rangers their full salaries to reopen. The government refused it. There's a guy on the Blue Ridge Parkway that's got a restaurant that's on federal land. He rents the space from the government. The Blue Ridge Parkway is still open, but they closed his restaurant. Put two armed rangers at the end of his driveway to keep people from getting in there. They put cones up around the Mount Rushmore. The state of South Dakota said, we'll pay to keep it open. These people are scared to death. The American people are going to realize we don't need no stinking government. We'll just pay for it ourselves out of our own pocket.
Can I interject here for a second?
Please.
It's actually fun because yesterday, you guys know, Tracy and I met. We had a wonderful dinner. It was fantastic. And we had a quick conversation about the speech that the president gave yesterday. And she didn't get a chance to hear it because she had some other things that was going on. So she asked me, she says, so what did the president say? So I started going into the spiel, and I said, well, it was the same old rhetoric of this, that, and blaming the Republicans, and I started going into detail, and she stops me, looks at me dead in the eye, and she goes, no, he didn't. And I went, what? And she goes, no, he didn't. And she looks down at her phone as if she's reading off a website, which I'm sure she was, and she said, all the president said was the Republicans are holding, the country hostage by allowing this government shutdown. That's all he said. And you know what's funny is she's right. because according to the media and all most of America see or hear, that's all the president said.
Hey, Matt, I went home last night. When my wife got home, I said, I'm going to take our credit card out and buy a new vet because the president says if I borrow money on my credit card, that it's not making me deeper in debt. She didn't buy that.
What?
Right.
He
didn't say that out
loud,
did he?
Yes, he did. He said, by raising the debt limit, we're not putting the country into any more debt.
No more debt.
He didn't say that out loud.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he said it out loud.
Tracy, go look that up.
Let me give you another one he said. Let me give you another one he said real quick. He said, you know, these Republicans are trying to hold us up so they can get everything that they want. And I'm saying, what's in there right now that the Republicans are getting?
Well,
and these idiots go for this.
Is messaging, Jeff. The Republicans are screwing the messaging up on this. The medical device tax, they need to pound on this that the president wants to continually raise taxes and make things more expensive for people with heart conditions and lung conditions and spinal cord injuries, because that's what the medical device tax did.
440, your mic is
right.
How you doing?
Hey, Tracy, it's AJ.
Hey, AJ.
Hey, I just had to say this to you guys. I was talking to my grandpa the other day, and I was talking about the government shutdown, and I talked about how big of a deal everyone is making out of it, and I told him I was a little scared about it. And the one thing I want to ask you, and this is what he asked me, and he goes, AJ, do you know how many times the government was shut down under Reagan? Do you know how many times?
It wasn't shut down, was it? It was shut down under
yeah, no, it was shut down under Reagan 8 or 10 times.
Eight times, he said. And he said, but, now maybe this is because my grandpa didn't have cable, but he said, I never heard about it. He said that he got the newspaper, but he said no one ever really heard about it because the mainstream media, no one made a big deal about the government shutting down. He said 8 times they shut down. So what I'm wondering is this really such a huge deal that it shut down again?
It's not a huge deal that it shut down, because if you have 13% of everything shut down, that's, to me, in my mind, that's not shut down. Shut down is like when you stop everything. See, if you want to really shut it down, then you would have stopped everything, such as Social Security and everything else, and then made them do their job. But then they shouldn't be getting paid either.
That's right.
I mean, when you shut stuff down, the lights go out, and you hang a sign on it that says closed for business.
Well, here, I heard last night some of these people may get unemployment and then get their back paycheck after they go back to work.
I don't think that'll work.
I bet you it happens. They said there were 10,000 applications for unemployment in D.C. last week.
Yeah, they'll take the unemployment money right out.
So they're going to get unemployment while this thing's shut down. Then they're going to write them a check for their back wages.
See, I don't know. The political theater that's going on right now, we need to be mindful of. I think we do.
Well, we just need to quit treating public servants like they're royalty.
But they're not public servants. These are employees. Public servants are Congress and the president. Those 435. Everybody else has a job. Now, you may not like how they get their job. You may not like what they do for their job. But they have a job.
But why shouldn't they get laid off just like me?
Because they don't have that kind of job.
Baloney. They got a job. A job's a job.
No, a job's not a job.
If you're
they're,
an employee.
No, sticks. Their job. See, it's not like their job is like anyone else's job. They're playing political theater with their job. That's not the same
Tracy.
As we're no longer producing. Yeah.
Tracy, are you channeling Diva or something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's your sound like
you're channeling Diva and you're explaining it. Her logic, the same thing.
Jeff, it's one thing for you to shut the country down. The country's not shut down. See, that's my issue. They're lying to people. They shut down the parks.
I think it's the
how many companies
nobody
are coming up on
the stupid black Republicans are calling them on it. That's what gets me about them. They're so stupid. They have to say, listen, he's lying. They can't just play with him because he's not playing with them. Say, Mr. President, you're lying because, first of all, we've had shutdowns before over less than this. And so, therefore, this is a very apt thing to shut the government down for so we can get this thing straight so we don't run off the rails 6 months into the future. And we're not going to do that until we get some significant change.
Yeah, they got reprimanded by the Chinese. The Chinese yesterday told the American government to get your finances in order. And nobody said anything.
This president's been talked by everybody all over the world anyway.
But this is not the president. This is the country. We fail. I hate to tell everybody.
No, it's your president. It's only your president.
Now hold on,
Jeff. It has nothing to do with the country.
Listen, it does. Your president represents the country, whether you like it or not. And when they punk the president, they punk America.
Well, that's why I take him out of office, so I mean, nothing you can do.
Tracy, he's making an issue. This country takes in $220 billion a month. Interest payments on the debt are $20 billion. That means they got $200 billion a month to play with. There's no reason to default on anything. If they don't raise the debt ceiling and he chooses to default, it's the president's choice, not the Congress's.
Thank you, Sticks.
Again. And the Republicans, John Boehner, if you're listening to me, the medical device tax needs to be squarely laid as what it is. It's a tax to increase the price of the things that people with heart disease and lung disease and spinal cord injuries use every day.
Listen, the question, I mean, okay, somebody said to me the other day, they said, Tracy, why don't we, it's a law, just go with it. Why is it that we're allowing exemptions from certain people from the law by executive order? Who gave the president the privilege to be able to write people
off?
So if you really want to go after that, if you want to call this a tax and you want to call this where everybody in America has to go by and it's the law and we can't change it, why would you change it for a group of people that you don't want to have to be a part of it and then exempt yourself from it?
Now, hold on.
Because everybody's equal. Some are more equal than others, and that's the way all communist socialists operate.
Go ahead,
Matt. Let me expand on that for a second, too, because a lot of people are going to say, well, the president has executive order rights, which he does, but you cannot circumvent the Constitution of the United States through executive order, and that's what he did with the exemptions.
Or, like you said, modify a written, signed-into-law act, and that's what he's done. He's violated the Constitution.
Hold on. What'd you say? Go ahead, Diane.
I was going to say, you know, we have to talk to them in a language they understand. I think what we should be saying is we can't contribute to political campaigns because we have to pay more for our health care insurance.
We're not. That's the problem. The problem with us is, if you really want to know the problem with America right now, is America is not contributing to political campaigns, and the people that are the ones who are getting what they want, and we're not, and we're voting for who they select.
Or we should say we're not going to go buy the big ticket items or what. We've got to speak in a language that they understand. It's going to take some discipline on the part of people, but I think we have influence. We're just not using it.
No, we don't have influence yet because we're not paying it. We talked about the campaign coming up, and then people talked about who's going to be there. The problem with America is that we are not interjecting ourselves into the political process enough. And the people that are injecting themselves into the political process are controlling the people that are there. And we have no say in this at all. That's why they play us like a fiddle on television, and we don't really know what's going on.
But do you think we could remedy that if we did get involved?
We must get involved. That's the only way this is going to change. And you don't. And the man that came on earlier talking about seceding from the state of Maryland, that's not going to happen. What's going to happen is we need to get educated, educate the poor people, the underserved, and the middle class in how this government works, and then changing it to make it work for you. That's the only way this will work.
I agree with you.
That's the only way that we're going to actually fix this problem, because as long as we're as ignorant to the system and to the processes, and we are not engaged in the political process, whether it be right now, we actually have people who are elected to office, and their seats are so safe, they can go with anybody and anything that goes on in the country, and we'll genuflect. And people actually think that this is really going on, and we are in the middle of political theater. They're closed, the museums in the country, but everything else is working. And no, they may not be getting a paycheck, but they're still working.
Well, you know, I would encourage the citizens of these communities where these things are happening to organize and go down there and stand together. And, I mean, you know, the media doesn't want to cover these things, but I think we have to find creative ways to show them that we're aware of what's going on and rally the people.
Yes, South Carolina.
what you've got a couple of those World War II veterans that, that moved the barriers. You've got some more veterans and some more people that said, the heck with you, we're going into the memorial. There ain't nothing you can do. There's nothing you're going to do about it. You can lock us up, but we're going in. Because it belongs to us. It's a, it does not belong to them. They can't shut it down. I don't give. I don't care what they say. We own it. We want it back.
And but that's the bottom line. I mean,
that's
what
we got to do. It's ours.
This
week, we got to say, are you an American or a mouse?
Well, this weekend in D.C. could be very, very pivotal in our nation. Not only truckers, the bikers. They want a million veterans. If everybody that they want there shows up this weekend. Who knows? I mean, this could be.
Can I tell you this?
This could be big.
Can I tell you something? Unless they have an agenda, listen to what I'm saying. Unless they have an agenda and are organized enough to swing a vote next year, I thank them for showing up, and I thank them for their willing to be a part of the process. But if not, they're just like black Americans in Youngstown going
after David. But you don't understand where I'm going with this.
Hey,
do you know what Coxey's Army was?
No.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of the Bonus Army?
No.
The World War I veterans were promised a bonus. And it was to be paid in, like, 1941. The Depression hit. A large number of veterans built a camp inside Washington, D.C., demanding they get paid. They put it down with tanks and troops. They burned it to the ground. Can you imagine? Wait a minute.
I only got 3 minutes.
Can you imagine that video plastered across the country if something like that happens this weekend?
Six, hear me what I'm saying. Unless they're an organized effort, what you will have, and they will do just like the Million Man March, it'll make a great sound bite. We'll talk about it for a couple weeks. And it will not make a hill of beans to the rest. The Tea Party. It was a great cause, a great movement. Now it's fizzled out. It is fizzled out.
It hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Tracy, I'm sorry.
It is not fizzled out.
I'm sorry.
And
the Tea Party. Go ahead, Jeff.
That it's fizzled out. You want to believe that from the left, that's what you want to do. They are scared to death of the Tea Party. That's why you see them kill them, a Tea Party this and a Tea Party that. They're scared to death of them. They're the only ones that came out to vote and got what they wanted. They got people into office.
Goodbye, Jeff. Hey, guys, bye-bye. We'll see you on tomorrow. The number is 330-781-9600. Or 347-945-5229. God bless. Have a good day, and we'll see you on tomorrow. But yeah, we'll fight with this on next week when I come back. I think Tea Party's fizzled out. They're gone. We'll see you guys later on.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.